Today's Sunday session is proudly brought to you by More Beer at www.morebeer.com.
I was pouring in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops on cocaine.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Beer
is fine.
God damn it, man. Oh, my God.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
The day has finally come.
That's all right. Don't be scared. Many before you have fallen.
JP Killer gets unveiled to the world. The Taste Off. The JP and Jay Brewcaster Challenge is upon us. You've heard about it. You've dreamt about it. Today, the Taste Off.
And then you have your life back.
Does everybody have allergies?
I do. But I'm getting over them. I'm actually doing really well.
It looks like everybody feels like me, all the sniveling and coughing. And
yeah.
I'm hoping it's allergies because I don't want it to be all the cocaine I've been doing as part of my new diet.
No, you're fine.
Good.
Yeah, you're fine on that.
So it's allergies.
Yeah. I think you've lost half an ounce in your septum, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're doing well.
Not only is it bad, but people that don't have allergies have allergies now.
Right.
I've never had seasonal allergies in my life, and last week I didn't sleep for like 3 days straight.
What is that?
Terrible.
What's it like?
It's probably the Democrats' fault, right?
I think it's Obama's fault for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be.
You know, I read that a lot of women now are having surgery to get Michelle Obama's arms.
Why, are they good?
Apparently they're toned, and it's like, or you could just work out, fat slob. Like,
no,
you could do that too.
JP, that's the most un-American thing I've ever heard out of your mouth.
No.
We don't work out here, we get surgery.
Give me muscles lasered into me.
We're not a third world country, come on.
It's true.
Yeah. Right. You think we are. I just got a six-pack tattooed on last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one, like a Firestone?
It's
or?
Still healing. No. Yeah, exactly. I got a six-pack. Of Pale 31 tattooed to my gut.
Kind of a corner view.
Yeah. A lot going on for you today. It's going to be a fun show. I'm excited about the Brewcaster Challenge. I'm also nervous.
Yeah, so am I.
You know, competition, it always makes one nervous.
That's why I don't compete anymore, man. I get diarrhea. You guys must be really nervous.
Right. Because we gave you diarrhea?
Yeah. I mean, like, right. I'm worried about it.
Well, wait till we pit you against
your... Wait a minute. Can I change my bet?
Challenger. We will still be doing bets today.
The window's open?
The window's open.
All right.
We'll do a whole segment before we get to the actual judging.
Good.
Where people can place their final bets. JP and I, of course, can't officially bet in this round.
That's true.
We'll post faux bets, but we won't be able to score any points for this round.
Why don't you just say four, if that's what you mean? Faux bets?
Right. I get it.
Oh, F-A-U-X?
Yeah.
I see.
Speaking of an Alabama talk, right?
Right, yes.
All right, we got... what else is going on today? We've got our old friend Chip Walton... formerly of the artist known as Brewing TV.
That's right.
He's got a new show called Chop and Brew. You just and or with an ampersand?
I think it's and technically, yeah. But you can shorten it.
Chop and Brew.
Chop and Brew.
Chop.
What is this?
It's his theme.
That's the theme song?
Or is that another song from a famous artist?
Sounded like Chop and
like
Brew.
311.
It was Chop and Brew.
What's their theme song like?
Chop and Brew.
Okay.
There you go.
So we got Chop and Brew. Chip Walton on the program today talking about his new project. Now that he's left Brewing TV, he went off on his own to do another thing, and we'll hear all about that. And, yeah, should be fun. Let's get to a few announcements for you. SoCal Homebrew Fest is coming up this weekend. A bunch of us are going down, Moscow and myself and Sammy and Nathan. And we're all bringing a bunch of beer, too. So that'll be fun. The Brewing Network booth will be in effect. Tasty's going to Boonville this year. But check this out. Now, Tasty knows about this. The organizers of the SoCal event sent out an email to all of the club heads that were going to be there, the reps.
Why did we get one? We're not a club.
Right.
No, they treat us as a club.
Right. They're the only people. Them and the AHA are the only people who treat us like a club. So, Moscow, you'll enjoy this. Last year, this is kind of the preface to it. Last year was the first year that the fest was required to get an ABC license to pour. A lot of homebrew festivals aren't required to get an ABC license because they're not selling any beer, and it's homebrew and it's sharing. But the ABC in Southern California has cracked down a little bit, and last year required an ABC license. No big deal. This year, they attached a bunch of pouring regulations along with it. And here's how it goes. Basically, you have to have designated pourers. Those designated pourers will be identified by a colorful vest that will be given out to each.
This is homebrew to homebrew. Homebrew to homebrew pourings.
This is going to be, you guys have a lot of fun.
Don't you hope that they're just effing with us and they show up in like pink polka dotted vests and stuff and they're just like, ah, we got you. We don't care. Go ahead.
I'll wear it.
But no, they will hand out bright colorful vests to all the pourers. Official pourers may not drink at all during their shift. Also, designated pourers may not be visibly intoxicated during their shift. Any violations of any of the above rules will result in the entire festival being shut down.
Forever.
Well, for the day, which is, that's just long enough.
Wait till next year's conditions. They could be even worse.
And so you're allowed to have more than one shift, so you can set, you know, 30 minutes, then people can go and taste. But, of course, when they come back for another shift, they may not be visibly intoxicated. So there you have it. The SoCal Homebrew Festival is now a well-regulated event.
Why did they have to get a liquor license? I'm confused on that.
The ABC required it. I don't know, but they did. Mm. They just decided it was an event that falls under their jurisdiction and that they needed to be issued a permit last year. I don't know a lot about it. And then this year, and they, by the way, they are and have been fighting these regulations, but as of now, the regulations stand. So if the event is to go on, we are to comply.
These people need purpose, JP. That's the whole thing. You understand? That they need purpose.
I wonder how they even found out. How do you find out on the ABC that homebrew, that people are just camping? What? Oh, I don't know.
Well,
whatever.
It's...
We could talk about it for 10 hours.
The campground might have required them to go through all, you know, check with all the potential governing bodies that might have some say in what they're doing. I don't know. Could have been any number of things that started it off, but it... They required them to have an ABC license. And now they require this fashionable vest.
So am I to understand that it was unregulated as of like 2010?
Yes.
Okay. And
as far as I know.
Did the earth collapse in on itself? Or did it, you know?
Right. Something clearly happened.
Somebody knocked on it.
I mean, who knows? Do you think, Tasty, that we have enough time to go buy a shitload of different colored vests and hand them out to everybody?
Everybody's wearing a vest.
Oh, I think that place would get shut because I think there's clearly going to be someone there at least checking in on that.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to make those regulations and then not come
by. You're
going
to make all these hoops without coming by and see if anybody can do it.
Right.
I mean, okay, you want to identify the pores. Well, let have some fun. Buy moo-moos for everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
And just like put a big wig on. It's like a whole thing. Make it a whole joke instead of just, I have this orange vest on with fucking reflectors on it.
Right. Well, who knows what it's going to be? You don't know that that's what it's going to be. It could be a state penitentiary vest for all we know.
Why don't we get some like 3-inch buttons that say fuck you ABC? They can put them on their vest. How about that?
There's no...
And then when they show up, it's like, you know...
Sure, it'll take them at least until next year to make the regulation that says you can't have fuck you ABC buttons.
That's right.
You know.
Do you realize if we were all homeless transsexuals, nobody would be messing with us? If it was a festival full of homeless transsexual homebrewers, if anyone did try to mess with us, the ACLU would sue them.
That might be true, except if we all did gather in one place as transsexual
homeless transsexuals.
Thank you.
Homebrewers. Yeah.
If we all did gather in one place in an organized moment, then they might F with us. It's only when we're dispersed. I don't know. Why am I with the homeless transsexuals?
It should just be an invite to the club. Like,
you're almost homeless.
Like, just, we're all going to meet at the park and pour our beer for a couple days. It's not an event. It's just everyone meet up there.
Well, that's a good point. You know, rent out the whole campground and walk from campsite to campsite rather than booth to booth. Yeah. It would seem to be legal that way. I don't know. Listen, you're barking up the wrong tree.
No, I'm barking up the right tree. You are on a committee, and a committee does things. I've learned this much.
But well, this isn't
under my committee.
Shit.
There's not even a subcommittee that I got made to govern for this.
I can't even figure out committees without subcommittees.
But I do think we might get the AHA involved to help them out.
No.
Sort it out. Right?
I don't think that's going to happen, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
California's laws regarding homebrew are so lax that it's going to be pretty hard to get any legislator, to feel bad for us not wanting to... We want to be able to be intoxicated while we're pouring. You're not going to get a lot of support from anybody for that.
It does sound ridiculous
when you put
it that way.
Like, in other words, and I even felt this way when you sent me the notice, Tasty. You know, they're not asking for all that much. Don't be intoxicated while you're pouring beer. Maybe the vest is a little ridiculous. But if it were any other sort of beer event, these would be normal regulations. We would accept them as normal.
Yeah.
So it's not as if they're asking us to stand on our head and do jumping jacks while we pour beer.
Right.
They're not big. But I'm telling you, I'm just saying, they're going to have a long way to go, a lot of regulations to make before we find any sympathy in the California legislative body to go to bat for us. And I don't think that the AHA is going to be too excited about taking on that battle when it's going to be difficult to win.
And we don't want to draw attention to it. They might find some things they want to actually clamp down on it while they're changing.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't look all that great for them to go up in front of anybody and go, "What? I can't be drunk while I'm pouring it? This is ridiculous." Now, I'm not speaking for the AHA on this. There hasn't been any conversation as far as I know. I'm just sort of pointing out that it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. Well, my position, of course, is probably yours as well, is only occasionally throughout the year do you get to camp out and be at a beer festival.
Right.
With, you know, 800, 900 of your peers.
Yeah.
You're going to let it rip. You're going to pour because you're not driving anywhere.
Right.
You're taking a bus back to the campground.
Part of the fun.
Yeah, it's just letting, I mean, you're in good behavior.
Yeah, Moscow was face down in a pile of shit last year. Eh? He had a great time.
It was puke. Come on.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Accuracy. Very important.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm still looking forward to it, and we will see you down at the SoCal Homebrew Fest in Ojai, California. I think there are still tickets available if you want to go. Look, these are easy regulations to get around, and it's still going to be a good time, and we'd love to see you there. We will be bringing both beers from the Brewcaster Challenge down. I'll have a keg of mine and a keg of JP's, and we'll also let you vote on who the winning beer is. BNA 8 tickets in Philadelphia are still available. You can go to brewingnetworkphilly.eventbrite.com and get your tickets now. It's a great event at the World Cafe Live in downtown Philly. It's less than 2 miles from the conference hotel. There'll be shuttles running back and forth all night. Doors open at 7, so you've got plenty of time to do other pre-conference events if you'd like, and then still make it over there. There will be hors d'oeuvres available for everybody. If you got a VIP ticket, it's a full-on beer dinner. And lots of different beers. We're still in the planning of the beer process right now, but everything else is really, it's just looking like it's going to be a great time. Live music from the Trophy Fire, made famous by the Brewing Network.
Of course.
You know,
not made famous by other skills.
No, you know, you heard them here. And you'll hear them there.
Yeah.
And then also the...
that's it.
What are those kids called? The
School of Rock!
The School of Rock. The actual School of Rock that the movie was based on.
Yeah.
They're...
gonna rock.
Touring band, or whoever their upperclassmen are. Boys, girls, I don't know. They're the one... That's the band playing.
The First Chairs?
They haven't given me a proper description, so that's how I... That's that. But I hear they're awesome. There's a bunch of kids...
playing music.
Rocking it.
Why not?
And they're supposed to be really very talented, actually. So I'm looking forward to that.
Can we have an over-under on which band is better?
Whoops.
You know, it's the kids, right?
They play so clean.
They're like six.
Yeah.
Rocking circles around Schumann. Interestingly, though, Schumann wears the same size shirt as...
That's true. That's true.
11-year-old.
Wardrobe, I need some help.
Maybe we can get him in a little... School of Rock onesie for the show. I don't know.
It's how young those kids are.
Well, you know, Schumann teaches at something like School of Rock.
He does. Yeah, he
Sound goes, Wall.
Sound Wall Music Camp, which is another way to say band camp.
Right.
And Schumann, he's an instructor there.
Right.
I have interesting stories about that. guess I'm probably not allowed to tell, but loves Bandcamp.
I think there's laws against what he did.
I don't know. The new Brewing Network show schedule, it's on our homepage, and it's working. In fact, you'll see several session shows in advance there. You'll learn who the guests are, what the topics are. Really? Just go to the homepage and scroll down. It's where the beer events calendar used to be, and now it's the show schedule calendar, and you'll know it because it says show schedule.
Show schedule.
And you can click on any one of those things and read a further description. What'll happen is a lot of times when they're posted well in advance, like a couple of those are, it'll be a very brief description. You'll know the date and the time of the show. And probably who the guest is. As it gets closer to the show, you can go back and click and we'll fill out exactly what topics we're covering and different things. So you guys, I know you asked for it, and I promise we'd get it to you. So there you go. It's up and working. And we're working on some other things on the old webpage too, which apparently it's extremely out of date in many respects. So it's all getting fixed up, and that's a first for you. Hop Grenade Warheads are in the store.
Everyone needs a warhead.
Otherwise known as the official vessel of the Brewcaster Challenge.
That is true.
JP and I both brought our beers in Hop Grenade Warheads. They're stainless steel, double-walled thermal growler things.
Thank you.
64 ounces of freedom go in there. And they've got the BN Army logo. They're really badass. All the staff here loves them, and we've been using them, and you should too. Go to the store and get one. The Pale Ale DVD is also in the store. Let Matt Brunelson from Firestone Walker Brewing Company teach you how to brew the perfect American Pale Ale. You can also shop and support us on Amazon by clicking the Amazon link on the homepage. iPhone and Android apps are available in the stores. Just search BN Mobile. They're free. Over on iTunes and the Android Marketplace. You can watch all this live on justin.tv/brewingnetwork. And it's working, right?
It is working.
I assume?
Yeah, it's up. Well, no one's told me it's not, so.
Okay.
Looks working to me.
Oh, great.
Thank you. Subscribe
and join the BN Army just by hitting the donate button. If you become a recurring donor, you're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, and that's a chance to win $100 to shop over at our wonderful sponsor of this session and every session, More Beer. Go to morebeer.com and check them out. And becoming a recurring member, recurring donor in the BN Army gives you the chance to win that. All these updates and more over on Twitter and producer Scott the Jew is available. Scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send your show ideas over there. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
I'm sorry, where do we send show ideas?
We go through this.
I know.
They know it as well as they're going to know it, JP.
But not everybody.
Don't be a bitch. They know it as much as they're going to know it.
They totally don't know it.
We've been said. By the way, it's only going on a couple years for you having to deal with this. I've been dealing with it for 8.
I'm just sick and tired of it. I don't even like. It totally bums me out.
Right.
I hate it.
All right. What do we got? Some beer news to do?
Yes, we do.
All right.
It's the Brewing Network's Beer News, brought to you by Belgian Beer Me and Bamberg Beer Me Beer Tours.
Let's start with a little clarification this week, because in my haste to play Alabama-themed audio a couple of weeks ago, I didn't misreport it, but I didn't include everything, which is the homebrewing bill, HB9. It only passed the House. We kind of discussed this, but just to clarify, only passed the House, and it made it this far last year. So the bill has not been placed on the special orders calendar for the Senate to debate. So as of now, it's still a felony.
What does MEAD need?
I got all excited.
You can't make mead. You can't brew beer. It's still a felony. A listener named Steven in Alabama wrote that into me and did a little complaining and clarifying.
Noah was a little wino.
Well,
I think they only have like 5 days left before the House or before the Senate leaves on vacation, and then every bill is dead.
So it's not going to happen.
That's what he said, too.
Yeah, the guy who wrote me said, you know, it's looking like it's just going to die out.
That sucks.
Just like every other flicker of hope in that stupid state.
Why did I read somewhere? By the way, we must not be the only people doing bad reporting, because I'm pretty sure I was all ready to corroborate that, because I had read earlier that day that now there's only one state left or something.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do nothing. I poked around and made sure what I was saying was, and it didn't, and even after the fact, like... But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Report wrong.
Yeah, so here you go.
Good. Okay.
It's not really a retraction. Just
all right.
Clarification.
What else you got?
Last week, brewery workers and beer lovers converged on the steps of the Washington State Capitol building in Olympia. to demonstrate their opposition to the proposed changes to the state's brewery excise tax. I reported this on the last segment. You might remember they wanted to quadruple the per barrel tax there. Mm. So they had a whole rally. The Defend Washington Beer Rally, they called it, was loud and proud. A lot of, you know, megaphone wielding speakers. Our friend Will Kemper from Chuckanut and our other friend Dick Cantwell from Elysian.
Oh, yeah.
We're both up there with the megaphones. Oh. And, you know, normally, at least Will, we know well, is kind of a quiet, reserved guy, real good at his gig, but, you know, doesn't. Yeah, himself. But I mean, I pulled the audio from it because I thought it was great. So here's Will. It kind of came right in the middle of it.
Brewer, yeah! My life is for making beer. I want to continue that very positive thing, but I'm in jeopardy. My brewery's in jeopardy, and so is everybody else that's a craft brewer.
Hang on.
If these laws.
I'd be lying if I didn't say that he sounds like Gabby Johnson on his
rubber.
At Crocker Crocker, gotta crack me, I gotta crack and Crocker Crocker.
Rubber.
That guy sounds like he's hammered.
Super hammered.
I love Will, don't get me wrong.
You
but
can't make a political statement while you're slurring your words. You can't do it.
At the same time?
This here is my life, and ain't no goddamn Crocker Crocker gonna come down here and take it from me.
The tax is a bunch of rubber.
Rubber.
He was wearing Brewer's boots, which was kind of funny.
Okay.
And that's it. Just boots.
That's all.
These laws are passed as intended. Thank you very much.
That was it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Dick Cantwell was a little bit more well-spoken.
Will Johnson is right about Gabby Johnson being right.
Howard Johnson's right.
I've been talking all week with people from wholesalers organizations and the big brewers who aren't content to stand by as we have our taxes raised. Let's let this tax expire and make sure that we can continue to do what we do best, making great beer in over 200 breweries and growing. We'll pay our share of taxes as we continue to grow our businesses and put more people to work.
Yeah! No, he sounds good. That's boring. Put Will back on.
It sounds like the microphone was placed right by the bird's nest.
Yeah.
Because just right in the middle, all these birds tweeting. It's like, oh, wow.
Play me Will again.
My life is for making beer. I want to continue that very positive thing. But I'm in jeopardy. My brewery's in jeopardy. And so is everybody else that's a craft brewer if these laws are passed as intended.
My brewery's in jeopardy.
It's like the
that's good.
It's like the pep talk in Animal House.
My life is in jeopardy. My brewery's in jeopardy.
I'm sorry, Will. You were doing a good thing up there, but the recording is terrible.
I'm in jeopardy.
I'm sure it's the recording. It was probably one of those like spontaneous. He didn't plan on saying anything,
sure.
So
he got fired up.
Some beers, yeah.
Yeah, and loosen up for it.
Rabble.
So, do we know anything about the tax? Did it pass? Is it going to pass?
It remains to be seen. The rally took place about noon. Earlier that day, though, members of the craft beer industry had testified in front of the House Finance Committee, and I think we're just awaiting to hear how it turns out.
Okay.
So, let's wish them
good luck. Yeah.
A Japanese brewery called Sankt Gallen has...
Sure about that?
No, I'm not. Has introduced Un Koko Kuro. That I am sure about. A beer made with coffee beans that have passed through an elephant.
By pass through, you don't mean that, like surgically.
No.
No. I mean the elephant ate it and then it left the other end of the elephant.
Oh, man.
So there's no actual poop in the beer, just to be clear. But it's apparently... the article said so. It's a technique, apparently, that breaks down proteins in the coffee bean, and it gives the beer a, quote, smooth, earthy flavor, end quote. The very pricey beans, they're called Black Ivory, come from Thailand's Golden Triangle Foundation.
Very. Yeah.
I think it's brown. The same folks, these guys, the coffee came from, they're the same folks that created the $50 cup of elephant dung coffee. That made, you know, the Tweedo sphere a few months ago.
I think I remember hearing about that. JP, you're shaking your head like you know all about this thing.
Well, I've heard about that coffee with like little lemurs or some shit, where that's a big draw. It's very expensive. These little lemurs eat the coffee. Excuse me, because the beans are encased in like cherries, so they're actually like a you can consider like a seed or a nut in a cherry. So the lemurs like eat the cherry, the coffee cherries, then crap out the beans.
I see.
And somehow it does something in their gut where it smooths out the flavor or whatever. But I had a question. You say there's no actual crap in there, but if you take corn out of your poop and then you display it on a plate, it's still poop, right? You would go, I'm not going to eat your shit,
but I'll eat this little piece.
Yeah, but
by definition,
poop.
It came out your
contained
ass.
In poop, so it's still
it's poop.
Poop,
right?
Yeah. Right.
What if you dropped that kernel in liquid and then you filtered the liquid?
You would have filtered poop liquid.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
So, why did the Japanese have obsessions with weird things? Like, why are you obsessed
with
elephants?
And it is an obsession. It went. It sold out the day it went on sale.
Of course it did. I didn't realize that elephants were native to Japan. Who would have ever thought?
I don't know.
Our native animal, the elephant, was feeding coffee beans.
Maybe. I don't know. Is it any different than us? Than honey? I mean, that's a bee eats something and then pukes it out.
Yeah, it's more of a secretion than a bowel movement.
Well, I don't. Is there a difference? I mean,
well, the difference is you would eat honey by itself, but you would never eat the coffee. You know what I mean? Or make coffee from them?
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't. Somebody did.
Yeah, I guess they would. Specifically you would. Right, not.
What is the cleansing process after it passes through?
Moist wipes.
Yeah, because
not dry paper.
Because I mean, how do they know that there's no feces in the finished product?
Maybe it's part of the, you know, you roll the dice.
We might have to send you to Japan, Moscow. Do a little on location, and we might have to send you to the elephant farm.
The elephant farm,
or whatever.
The elephant farm's in Thailand.
The emperor's house. I don't know.
Yeah, the coffee came from Thailand. Actually, it was made by a Japanese brewer.
Whatever.
That would have been.
It's all the same. Isn't it, Susie? It's all Asia.
It is all Asia.
I imagine shipping an elephant.
Well, they're careful about that shit. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Imagine shipping an elephant to Japan would be kind of much like Jurassic Park, where you know they have these big crates, and eventually the elephant will get out and
right and
stomp everywhere,
and stomp all the little Asian people.
Yeah,
like Godzilla.
Yeah, but with a trunk.
Right.
Elephant dupe
and
is
shitty butt.
It's not kosher, so you need to send somebody else.
You can't
send Sam or something.
Right. Sam will do it. Hey, I'll eat it.
I'll drink that coffee.
Give me some of that ass coffee. All right.
Do we have time for one more quick one?
Are there any reviews on that beer yet? Have you searched Beer Advocate?
No. You know, I didn't.
Maybe
who cares?
Do that
it's a coffee beer.
Do that at the break and follow up. I'd like to know how the...
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Well, I reported that it was earthy and smooth. It's not enough for you?
It's not enough. I want to know how many stars it got. I want to know.
Isn't that just coffee beer in general?
Right.
And does it smell like shit? That's what we want.
Yeah, and you know, really, you have to do a side-by-side blind experiment with non-shitted out coffee and shitted out coffee.
Another cup of shit.
A reputable judge has to tell me that one is worth the consumption of the other.
Exactly.
Go ahead, please, Moscow.
All right, last one. I reported 1,000 stories on this segment about tax hikes and other varieties of the state getting in the way. So here's a refreshing snippet about the opposite. It appears that Republican Senator Troy Balderson of Ohio has proposed a bill that creates a new liquor permit there for beer manufacturers that produce less than 31 million gallons of beer per year, so the craft beer industry. It would be known as A1C, the permit would. It would run about $1,000 a year, as opposed to the current permit you have to have, which is just the plain A1 permit, which will run you about $4,000 a year. So there you go. There's 88 A1 permits currently issued in Ohio. So for theoretically, 88 businesses would have a significantly reduced operating expenses as it pertains to taxes. So that's great if it, you know, passes, which it probably won't.
I've never heard of anything like that happening before.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah. Why them? Why not everybody? Fuck them.
There's got to be something wrong with it.
All or nothing.
Hey!
Yeah.
This is my job, and ain't no one going to take it from me. Yeah.
See?
Where's my bullhorn when I need it? All right.
That's the news. Yep. Brought to you by Belgian Beer Me and Bamberg Beer Me Beer Tours. Treat yourself to the beer tour of a lifetime. Belgian Beer Me and BambergBeerMe.com.
Perfect. Let's go to the phones. We got Giles back on from Denver. You might remember, Tasty, he was talking to us about a fermentation. I believe, if I remember right, it had only been 24 hours, and he wasn't seeing fermentation yet. And we said, just give it some time, if I'm remembering correctly. Giles, what's happening?
Hey, I called you guys a couple weeks ago and thought I had a stuck fermentation, shook up the carboy, and it worked great.
Beautiful. Like to hear it.
Yeah, so great that it's still bubbling away in the carboy 2 weeks later.
Good. That's fine.
Yeah.
I shouldn't
be too worried about it with the low gravity beer.
Well, it sounds like it got a slow start. You maybe didn't pitch enough yeast, right, Tasty?
Well, not enough viable yeast. You know, yeah. We don't know how many were viable. He made a starter and everything, so that seemed normal.
Could have been a lack of oxygen in there for them to really reproduce well.
Right.
Making them basically.
Obviously, had a long replication phase, which meant that the bulk of the fermentation didn't start for a long time.
Yeah.
And the yeast are probably kind of confused and not going to do their normal behavior. So it wouldn't be uncommon for a beer like this to linger.
And how many bubbles are we talking? You know, like one a minute?
It's about one every 30 to 45 seconds.
Oh, well, you might be done. Are you warming it up?
No, I'm just letting it sit in the bathtub at air temperature. It warmed up a little bit today.
So your ambience
but it's
going
been
up.
Pretty steadily. Huh?
Do you have any reason to believe that there might be carbonation in the beer? Because sometimes if the carbonation starts to come out, usually when you warm up the beer, it'll bubble just because of that.
Okay.
Sometimes if you have a really long, your dip tube goes into a height of water, it'll create a back pressure that'll actually, your blow-off will actually start carbonating your beer.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Really the only way to tell is to take a sample and a gravity reading and take another one tomorrow and see if you're at terminal gravity. But I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, even if it's done fermenting, you don't want to take it off of there too quickly because it can clean a bunch of things up, too. I'll give you an example. I brewed Doc's Ordinary Bitter about a week ago. It ripped through fermentation in 2 days. I put a real big pitch in there, and it was pretty low gravity. But I tasted it, and it was just a diacetyl bomb. It just tasted like butter, and I thought, oh, no, what did I do? Well, 5 days later, it all cleaned up, and there wasn't even any visible bubbling coming out of my fermenter. But sure enough, that yeast kept working in there, and I tasted it yesterday, and it's tasting pretty good. So let it clean up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I just have a lot of stuff on the top of the beer, and I didn't want to disturb that by taking a gravity sample or anything. Is that going to be a problem if I dip in my wine sieve to take a gravity sample and it disturbs that layer on top?
No.
JP, no?
No.
No problem.
Take a sample.
Okay.
You know, just, dude, are you in a hurry? Just leave it for a week. Take a sample.
Okay.
4 days later, take another sample.
Okay. Yeah,
I wanted to
brew another beer in 2 weeks, so.
Well, you still can.
Yeah, you'll be able to. And I used to ask Jamil about that, too. I would be worried about leaving it on the yeast in that carboy for too long. And he said, you know, a month, you're still fine. You're not really going to see any real problems till after that. So not that you got to leave it in there for a month, but I think JP's right. You could give it another week and then take a sample, and you're probably going to be just fine.
Okay.
And what JP didn't say, but he probably implied, was once you get two readings in a row that are the same, your beer's done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to brew in 2 weeks anyway, then just keg off or bottle before you brew.
On brew day.
Because the more times you do a sample, that's another chance of contamination. So just leave it.
Exactly.
Just leave it, dude. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it.
There you go. Thanks, Giles.
Cool. Thank you.
Cheers, brother.
I wonder how his band doing, the Jay Giles band.
The Jay Giles band.
Yeah.
All right, if we do it quick, I think we can get feedback down here before we got to go and get to Chop and Brew. Think
might be quick.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Say 15 minutes.
All right. Feedback's brought to you today by HopTech Homebrew. Our good friends down there in Dublin, California. Go check them out at HopTech.com. Good people over there. And Jade wants me to let you know that she's a one crazy bitch, or I forget what I'm not supposed to call her a lady. She's a cool.
Cool bitch.
Something. She's rad. Is that all right? She's rad. That's
totally
what I mean.
Rad.
The sentiment is that they're awesome down there. Go to hoptech.com and check them out. All right. Bjorn from Sweden writes in.
I love her music.
Hi. With feedback on the Sunday session, it seems to be the norm to add some profanities in the beginning. So, butt munchers something. That was his profanity.
Pretty good.
They're very nice in Sweden.
They are very nice.
We should be extremely offended by that. That's worse than a lot of the things we get from America.
Yeah, may you stop at a red light that's longer than every other red light.
Yeah.
Jerk face, man.
Anyway, he says, the interview you did with Blake Crosby from B. Crosby Hot Farms the other day was awesome. Really exactly the information needed for someone planting his first rhizomes. Thanks for this and all the other fantastic things you are doing. Regards from Bjorn. You're welcome. Thanks for listening. Glad you liked it. And Blake Crosby, he's a badass. He's a one hell of a farmer.
Yeah.
Mike the Cop from Connecticut writes in, hey guys, I've been listening the last couple of shows, hearing about how Justin is having some issues with his refractometer usage. I also had that same discrepancy when I first started using a refractometer. And you might remember that I'm taking like a million readings before I start my 60-minute boil. It's boiling, but I haven't added my 60-minute addition, and I'm getting readings that are wrong, and then at the end of the boil, it's wrong. Well, he says, what I found is that if I stirred the wort and then used a spoon to gather a sample of the hot wort, and by the way, this is what I have been doing, a small but measurable amount of water vapor evaporated because the spoon was so hot from being in the hot wort. This left a slightly higher concentration of sugar behind on the spoon, which I subsequently measured on the refractometer and made the reading appear to be a higher gravity than it was in reality. Now, after stirring the wort with a big spoon, I actually take a sample with an eyedropper instead. This makes everything read accurate, and you don't feel like a retard at the end of the day. Give a shot, Mike the Cop from Connecticut. First of all, something will happen anyway that will make me feel like a retard at the end of the day. But what do you think about that, Tasty? That makes an interesting point.
All right, the big spoon. I wonder how much, like a teaspoon, is he leaving in this big spoon?
Well, I'm using a big metal stir spoon.
I know which I use that one.
And I'm leaving a teaspoon in there.
It's like a quarter cup. I mean, it's a pretty good spoon, right?
But I don't take that full of a. I only leave a little bit because I want it to cool faster.
And you take that and you
and
pour it on.
And I leave it sitting on.
Oh, you let that sit.
I let that sit until it cools down.
Okay.
And then I put it on my refractometer. Oh. And I wonder if I am losing a little bit of vapor there. He says it's small but measurable.
Well, when you know, as you know, being the science person that you are,
science hates me.
The steam rising is condensation, is water, right?
Yeah.
Not condensation, but it's steam. It's water vapor,
it's water,
right? So when you don't see any more water vapor coming off in the form of steam, then it's, you know, so while you set it down there and it's still steaming, you're losing water.
Yeah. So I might should try this.
You might should.
Yeah. Do the old eyedropper method.
I think you should.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the advice. I will give it a shot on my next brew day. Justin from St. Paul, Minnesota writes in. Thanks for all the info week to week. There are several things with recent shows that I want to give feedback on. First, the Brewcaster Challenge. This ought to shut those whiners up about not having enough homebrew information. This is an awesome idea and really is exciting to hear how the brewcasters actually brew and then discuss the whole process. This leads right into the second great thing that's been on the show, Justin's discussion on his brewing efficiency. Again, the casual question and answer style group conversation really brings out a lot of great information if you listen to it.
Which I thought was kind of almost a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, if you listen to it. That is good feedback for me because I worried, you know, we did do a really casual conversation style piece on the efficiency last week, and I worried that it was too casual and boring for people. So I hope that was all right, and it's good to hear a little feedback in that direction. Then he goes, as much as it's probably annoying to Justin to be missing his numbers, it's really great to hear other people's logic, process, and struggles. My motivation to finally write in also motivated me to finally stop being a freeloader and sign up as a PFC. Thank you, buddy. So thanks for the info. Good. Glad you're liking it. That's Justin from Minnesota. Bass writes in. Bass? B-H-A-A-S?
Boss.
Boss?
Boss.
I just want to say how much I like the mini topics you're discussing. Chilling methods, calculating efficiency. They validated some of my methods, but also I've learned several new things. They come from a very practical point of view, which is fairly rare in the homebrewing educational literature. Keep up the good work. Well, that's true. We do try to just say, look, this, I don't know, this is just what we do, and it works.
Yeah.
And you don't have to build Noah's Ark to, you know, chill your beer or finish the brewing process. Nathan writes in, I've never been called this before. Justin, you know talent chimp filleting hack.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You blow.
I don't know how he knew.
You blow dudes.
Chimps.
Oh. Well, but those are dudes.
No talent ass clown.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thanks. As a result of you ass hats, I set a couple of two tree in a meeting the other day. Good. I've been saying a couple of two tree every other sentence since that email came through. A
couple two tree times.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. Cheers from Nathan. Matt writes in, love the show. I work as a janitor, and as you can imagine, I'm bored to death the entire day. This show keeps me sane. I'm catching up on the archives, and I feel every show I've heard has been fantastic. Not only because it's free, but a goldmine of info. And then he offered up some homebrew kit names for us that we can use if we like. Damo Oatmeal Stout.
Dame Oatmeal Stout?
Yeah, I kind of got to figure out how to say it exactly. Dame Oatmeal Stout. Augustina Bruna Eisbach. That's old school there. Wallet Phone. But as a Belgian Strong, it should be. I don't know why it has to be a Belgian Strong.
I don't know why either.
One Love, One Hop Pale Ale. That will never happen.
No.
And JPESB. Keep up the good work from Matt.
There you go.
I'll tell you what.
Augustina Barina.
We might think we might keep around Dame Oatmeal Stout.
Maybe.
Yeah. Harry writes in, "Hey, Brew Bastards, I've been listening to this show religiously, and it occurred to me, I'm not sure about something I'm doing with my water. I use Camden tablets, Camden caplets, to eradicate the chlorine and chloramine, but I'm not sure if I need to let it sit overnight or if there's a better alternative to Camden tablets." Let me know. Keep up the good work. Blah, blah, blah. Eat a bowl of dicks. Harry. JP, what do you think?
I don't know. I've never used Camden tablets for this. They're traditionally like a winemaking thing. I think you do if you're treating water that you have to leave them overnight because it's sulfite in there and it's a poison.
And
so you want to let it off gas.
Okay.
The Camden tablets are it's a
oh,
tablet of sulfites like in wine for sanitizing. So it'll kill everything, but it'll kill you too if you have too much of it.
Oh.
So I think you want it to off to just become
off
neutral
gas.
In the air, I guess, overnight. I don't really know.
In dealing with the product when you used to work for More Beer,
mm-hmm.
is there not instructions to come with it?
No, because it's for... so like if you have a bunch of grapes and you're making wine,
yeah.
and you crush them all and you have the juice and the skins and all that kind of nonsense in your fermenter,
right.
you throw in some Camden tablets and wait about half an hour so it kills everything. So the only thing that's going into your wine is the yeast and the nutrients that you want, not this wild yeast kind of whatever. So it's just for wine. It's not for, you know what I mean?
So we don't know.
Yeah. Well, Tasty might know. I have no idea.
No, I don't know much about the Camden tablets. I know overnight I've heard that thing, but I use RO water, so I don't even deal with that kind of stuff.
Got it. I mean, just leaving, people used to say they just fill up their kettles and leave the water overnight without any sort of tablets to let chlorine off gas.
Yeah, I would personally just get a water filter and not worry about adding Camden tablets to your nonsense. It's
yeah.
just, you know, if you don't know, don't mess around with it. It's a poison.
Get a cheap charcoal filter. That's what I use. It's pretty simple. You just put it in line with your water source. You can get them over at More Beer, our wonderful sponsor, too. Sorry, I don't have more information on this. Eirik... What are people spell? Oh, because he's not from our country. That's why. E-I-R-I-K.
That's Eric.
Why isn't it Eirik? It's spelled Eirik.
I don't know.
How do you know it's Eric?
Why is the sky blue? You don't know something.
Have you heard him pronounce his name to you?
Yeah. We Skype all the time.
So it could be Eirik.
Yeah.
You don't know.
No, it's Eric.
How do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, well, you know, I know.
Well, it's spelled Eirik.
Okay. Well, he's Eirik then.
At the annual national homebrewing competition in Norway this weekend, I decided to put in the NOL shirt.
I didn't know what that meant. I figured I'll leave it in there. That's how we wrote it.
I put in the NOL shirt as a tribute to all the good work you have done for the brewing community. Thanks for keep up the good work. And then he showed us a picture of Eirik, and he's in a BN Army shirt. So
it's
I
think it's the old school BN Army shirt.
Oh, that's what the Knoll shirt is?
I don't know. I think so.
I think we need to make a shirt called the Knoll shirt. It says the Knoll shirt on it.
That's all it says.
Only for people in Norway to wear.
I thought it was cool, though. He's serving his beer out of a cask with a hand pump.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
That is nice. There's no pumping motion. I wish it was a GIF where we get to see him actually work the... yeah. But what are you going to do? All right. Hey, thanks, Eric, for writing in and for rocking the shirt. We appreciate it. All right. That was your feedback brought to you by HopTech. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chip Walton from the new show Choppin' Brew. Hang in there. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to MoreBeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty crack cans.
Tasty crack cans.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeast, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial. For nearly 15 years, homebrewers have been served by one place in Michigan where you can buy yourself a serial killer grain mill. Adventures in Homebrewing. Did you try all those great Michigan beers at the National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego or Seattle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Did you see a great false bottom in your buddy's cooler or brew kettle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered that. And did you see that great custom-built brew stand? Yep, Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Since 1999, Adventures in Homebrewing in Taylor, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and online at homebrewing.org has been serving homebrewers across the globe. Check out their innovative 2.5-gallon keg with metal handles, great homebrew kits, and the fully adjustable serial killer grain mill. Visit them in Philly for the 2013 National Homebrewers Conference. Not going to make it? Check out all the fun of Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org. For a limited time, coupon code BNETWORK will slam 10% off your order. Bam! Adventures in Homebrewing. Join the adventure at the Great Lakes Home for homebrewing supplies. Online at homebrewing.org. And don't forget coupon code BNETWORK for a limited time. Join the adventure today.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
possession.
Brewing up our next batch of radio gold.
Right now.
Welcome back to the program. Chip, you got a Twitter game for us? I'll give you a minute.
Give me a minute.
All right. Don't forget about our sponsors, Adam and Eve. You can go to adamandeve.com right now, and for just a limited time only, you get 50% off just about any one item. You get a free gift that's very, very, extremely sensual. You get three free adult DVDs from so many different genres. I mean, genres like elephant poop is one, right, JP?
Elephant poop is one, Justin. That's absolutely right. You've won the big prize.
No, all sorts of wonderful genres, like Asian. Susie's favorite.
Susie's favorite.
No, it's not.
Are Asian people allowed to watch Asian porn?
I don't watch Asian porn because I'm afraid I'm going to bump in. Like, I have so many family members. I really don't need someone that looks like my mom, like, making an O-face.
Like,
I really don't need that.
Holy shit, Auntie Sakura. This is amazing.
I like how my aunt's Japanese.
Oh, you're not? Whatever.
I don't watch Asian porn because
they have no tits.
Well, there's some.
I have all the tits of like all
Asia.
You're
hoarding them.
Yeah,
I did. That's why they're H's.
You have a generation's worth of tits. No, because it's true. Japanese women, especially, have weird vaginas.
They're slanted.
They look real weird. Have you ever seen Asian porn? It looks like it's all pixelated. I don't find that attractive.
I see. Yeah, their mouths are like that too. They have weird mouths. Anyway, if you're not Susie or JP, there's Asian porn. There's all sorts. Three free adult DVDs and all sorts of different stuff. Go over to adamandeve.com right now. Use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY. And fulfill all your adult shopping needs and support the Brewing Network while you're at it. I mean, what better way to get jerk material than supporting the Brewing Network? All right, JP, do you have a Twitter game for us?
I do have a Twitter game for us, Justin. Thank you for asking me. I want
Twitter
to know...
game is brought to you today by Keystone Homebrew Supply. Check them out. You can go to KeystoneHomebrew.com. They're a wonderful sponsor of ours and been around a little while now. They even have winemaking classes over there if you want to expand your beer making needs and fermentation needs and alcohol consumption needs. Go to Keystone Homebrew.
We're going to get to hang with them in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, Jason, the owner, and, you know, that's where he is. So
beautiful.
He's looking forward to it.
They coming to the party?
I think he is, yep.
Okay, good. All right. We'll check him out. All right, what's our Twitter game, JP?
I'm going to know what everyone's looking forward to at BNA8. We talked about the great lineup of the School of Rock and some other obscure band I don't know the name of. All the great food, all the great beer that we're going to have. We've talked about it very briefly. Played the VIP section, the nice dinners, the good apps. What is everybody looking forward to the most at BNA8?
All right, Twitter that in, and you might win a prize.
Well, you'll win a prize. You might get it.
Yeah. Have you ever shipped out a Twitter prize?
Yeah.
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 How far back are you?
I'm 2011 right now.
Not bad.
February, maybe March.
Better than I expected.
I can tell you in a second. I can look at my calendar.
That's worth a raise, because I was expecting 2009, and so since you're 2 years above where I thought,
yeah,
I'm tripling what you get at events.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's great. Let me work the math out.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to our guests now. We've got Chip Walton and Chris Paynes from Chop and Brew. Chip, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, man. What's going on?
We haven't talked to our friend Chip here since Brewing TV, I think, was the last time.
That's right.
Which Chip is no longer involved with, and you've left and started. Is it Chop and Brew or Chop and Brew?
Chop and Brew.
Yeah. Is that the theme? Is that his official theme song?
Yeah, it's the intro.
Let's hear it.
Hit it.
So that's not... Is that you singing, Chip?
No, I wish. That's my friend Abstract Artemis, who also did the Bruin TV theme song.
Oh, I see.
So, you can't tell. It sounds the same.
Yeah. So he.
Yeah,
so
I got him in my back pocket. Yeah.
You got him to rewrite the lyrics.
That's right.
From the Brewing TV song. That's great. So tell us the idea behind Chop and Brew.
Chop and Brew is a webcast very much like Brewing TV about home brewing And now we're kind of looking at cooking as well and all things kind of home fermentation, whether it be fermented food, other fermented beverages, mead, wine, kombucha, other weird things that I've yet to even discover. So yeah, just kind of all things DIY at the house.
Kombucha? You can't get drunk. You can't get drunk on that, Chip.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a webcast about all things that get you inebriated.
Hang up on him.
You get drunk in kombucha.
He's lightening up in his old age. You have to drink
a lot of it, yeah.
Like a carboy full of kombucha.
Basically, yeah. By that time, your insides all rot out.
Don't you make kombucha, JP?
I did it for the lady a couple times.
How'd it come out?
It was fine. It came out fine. But then she realized that there's no proof at all that probiotics do anything for you at all, and right. So she stopped drinking it.
Right. So her shit was the same before and after your homemade kombucha.
Everything was exactly the same. And then, but now she has a new job where the office buys kombucha, so now she's back drinking kombucha. And then she's like, "Oh, but it'll help me digest."
Is that the only thing the office buys? It's like an all kombucha office?
No, it's just, it's in San Francisco, so that's part of it.
I see. And Chip, who is Chris Paynes?
Chris Paynes, he's in the BN Army.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been a BN Army fan since Brewing TV kind of started, and when I started homebrewing. And yeah, I've been seeing Chip here and there, kind of talk to him. He said, yeah, get on a BTV episode. I'm like, no, I don't want to get on camera. But finally kind of tracked me down, and yeah, here I am.
So are you helping out with different Chop and Brew episodes, or are you just hanging out with Chip tonight?
I'm helping out with a few Chop and Brew episodes, kind of taking the nerdier side of things. I kind of think of it like as a mixture of Nate and Tasty kind of on camera.
Oh dear! You're a mess.
So
I'm a train wreck on camera.
Really, really, really quiet.
Yeah,
I'm a train wreck.
I don't have the long hair like Nate, but I really like his preparation, like doing the PowerPoint and shit on a few of the hot episodes, and
right.
I like Jamil's enthusiasm about helping new brewers. So.
Do you make up for the lack of long hair by just texting through every episode?
yeah, texting Nicole every episode.
Hey!
Right. Sorry, Nate.
All right. So
Chris actually brewed one of the two beers that I hope / believe you have there in the studio.
Did we get beers?
Yeah, definitely.
Did I?
How were they?
Chip, let's have a
delicious.
we have to start with a little discussion, Chip. Are my notes correct in that one of the beers that we're drinking you brewed, in fact, maybe it's a whole episode, is for 311?
That's right, my friend.
Did you not take a beating enough on your last appearance on this show for your 311 enthusiasm?
Chip Walton don't care.
But so many, the fans came out of the woodwork. I know that there's a lot of haters, but there was a lot of support, even from the Army, man, in my defense.
But there's more haters.
Yeah, when you say came out of the woodwork, you're talking about like two BN Army members sent you an email like, hey, I also think 311 is sort of okay.
No, man, they were coming up to me at different NHCs and different events, and I don't know. I think you have a 311 fan there in your midst. I think you have a mole in the studio, man.
Moscow, I think, is a 311.
Oh, here, he's a super fan.
This is 311 for any of you who don't know, which starts out okay.
Yeah.
The rock is good.
It's a good bass line.
It's even good right here.
It's all right. It kind of, you know, drops a little bit. It's good. It's mellow.
Almost all of 311 stuff is good.
Yeah.
Until they open their stupid little skater mouths.
Skater.
I think that they would be too afraid. They're too emo to skate.
Here you go. Here's their little skater mouths. It's like the Britney Spears of pop rap rock.
I remember this when it was called Sublime. So
yeah.
All right.
What
did the guy say?
But we love you, Chip, and that's what matters.
So Chip, what did you do? Now, when you say you brewed a beer for 311, like, were they involved?
I tweeted the bass player Peanut, and I was like, "Hey, we're thinking about brewing some beers for 311 Day, March 11th."
Is Peanut spelt like like the word peanut?
No, sir.
No, P-nut.
That's correct.
they're helping themselves out, aren't they? All right, so you tweeted. What is Peanut's Twitter account?
Peanut?
I think it's at Peanut.
Okay.
Get a nut.
It might be at Peanut Base or something. I don't know. So I tweeted him. I was like, if we were to brew some beers in your honor on 311 Day, what kind of beers do you like? They came back with, hoppy and Belgian. So we kind of ran with those two vague descriptors and came up with two beers to brew.
Did they mean hoppy and Belgian in one beer?
He didn't necessarily say it like that, but that's what we took it with for Chris's beer. And then mine was just hoppy, no Belgian. But Chris's is both.
And as a fan, how excited did you get that you got a direct response from Peanut?
Oh, I nerded out.
Yeah, you showed everybody.
But then I unnerded out when he never responded with an address for me to send him a bottle. Yeah.
Shocking.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I'm taking beer from this stalker.
We went from like, oh, that sounds like a cool novel idea to like, stalker, get back now.
Yeah. Well, especially because you sent him 100 replies after he sent you that one piece of information.
You know, I'm on Twitter looking for Peanut's Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a lot of shall we say ghetto folks talking about Peanut. Tommy and Peanut always play fights. They funny. So Peanut just had to do me. We both got in the muck and saw Peanut. It was a good day to say the least.
Wow.
That's Peanut, I think, right?
Wow. Perry, please get on Peanut Butter, Nelly. I don't know what these things mean.
I don't know either.
That's awesome.
Now, what is, you said that you brewed this for 311 Day. What is 311 Day?
311 Day is just since they're a band called 311, somewhere along their career, they're like, that's also March 11th, just like 420 is also April 20, or right. I don't know, I'm sure there's something else. 9/11, September 11th.
Wow.
Not nearly worthy for a brew day. But so sure. We were going to put this episode out on 311 Day, so we actually brewed it, March 2nd or something like that. But
okay.
Why, generally, the band has a big concert somewhere on that day.
Why isn't 311 Day on the 311th day of the year?
Because that's a good question. Hey, is it?
That's November 7th, which is my birthday, so then it would be great.
That's 311-2 day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you brew on March 11th, and then you drink it on the 311th day. Marilyn Manson would get a fucking head rush from all these numbers, man.
I toyed with like all kinds of ideas. Like, let's brew a beer that's 3.11 ABV. And then I went the other way, and I was like, let's make it 1.311, and tried to figure out, like, how can we party guile this thing? And then I was like, this sounds way too confusing. And I had a long night the night before, so we're lucky that these two beers got brewed.
So is there an episode? There's an episode on all this, right?
Yeah, episode 3.
I will say, that is pretty cool. I mean, the dude has 25,000 followers on his Twitter account, and for them to actually find it and talk back and kind of get all jazzed about it, that's pretty rad.
Are we talking about Peanuts again?
Peanut, yeah.
Okay.
Peanut.
Got it.
Yeah.
Moscow, do you have some audio from the show?
Yeah, I pulled the first minute or so of the episode in question, so here's a little taste.
Welcome to Chop and Brew. I am Chip Walton, celebrating a very special day. It is 311 Day, March 11, 311, celebrating the music and ways of the band 311. Now, whether or not you like 311 as much as I do or at all, this is still an episode about brewing, homebrewing beer inspired by music, inspired by the artists that you like, inspired by events maybe even that have to do with music. So what's going to go on in this episode is I arranged a brew day with some buddies to celebrate some 311 beers. You're going to see that brew day. There's actually three beers going in that one brew day. Then we're also going to tell you about a malt liquor that another friend and I brewed separately for an occasion called Dre Day, which is the celebration of the birthday of the great Dr. Dre. So we're being inspired by music to brew,
yeah.
And that's what this whole episode is about. So chop for chop, brew for brew. I better get a beer. We're missing a beer here.
Is chop for chop and brew for brew your tagline now, Chip?
Yeah, it is, man.
What does it mean?
I don't know, man. Like ounce for ounce, punch for punch.
I never
chop
heard that
for
one.
The sake of chop, brew for the sake of brew. It's also kind of formulaic, I think you'll agree. It's got a reminiscent ring to it.
Yeah, so. It is. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. You were like, well, I can't use
Brew for all
for brew or whatever the other one was. So what if I just use two words twice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was kind of like an informal poll at one point very early on. Like if you look at the first couple of videos I put out that are like shot on my crappy SD camera and I'm like, am I really doing this in public? I just kind of threw it out there and I was looking for a much more, like you're saying, interesting, sensible tagline. And that kind of, I think that just kind of stuck because more people got the inside joke a little bit.
I see.
But I also like it. It's chop for chop. It's brew for brew. You're like,
it is catchy.
Kind of dedication to your craft and your hobby a little bit.
I think it's catchy, man.
All right.
No. I can't believe you didn't go with the Brodels is the Naz for your line. Why not?
What the hell is always
don't
the
even
Naz.
Ask. I don't even
what
know.
The hell is the Brodels is the Naz?
I don't know.
Oh, is it
the Brodels is the Naz?
What does that mean?
Yeah, no, don't answer him, Scott. Just keep repeating it over and over again.
It is the answer is the question.
And then play the blown out clip that we can't understand.
It's a 311 song?
Yeah. It's 311 BS, who knows?
Chip, what does the Brodels is the Naz mean?
I think it means like the brothers are cool. Like the people around you are cool. They're the
maybe that's source. Maybe that's why I've never known that saying.
Why can't they just say that?
Like the brothers around me are the life source? I don't think so.
Well, at least it makes sense.
Well, if you put
sort
it
sort of, I don't know.
If you call them the life source, that means they're just drinking from them. That's creepy, but
or you're at a Star Wars convention. I don't know.
What? Midichlorians, dude, watch out.
Right.
We're all around you.
So, is this your only gig now, Chip? Are you like full-time chop and brew?
No, I'm kind of the video nerd, the digital marketing coordinator for Summit Brewing Company here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, nice. So you're creating videos and stuff for them too.
Yeah, it's really cool. The two things definitely feed each other. Getting to kind of practice that art on the personal and business side has really helped.
Sure.
Both. Other than the fact that Summit bought me a really nice computer that renders very quickly, and I have a Frankenstein of a computer at home, which like is a lot of, this is rendering. Let's go do some laundry and come back to it.
So you mean you can edit video faster with a new computer?
Yeah, definitely at work.
I see. Okay.
But yeah.
Let's get one of these beers up here.
It's a thrill to be able to do that for another strong company. You know, social media, video, blogging. It's all the good stuff I've always liked.
I'm blogging, son.
I love Chip. I miss Chip a lot. His bald head.
Reading it from my blog.
I did all for the blogs.
So I watched some of the episodes, and I got to know a little bit more about Chip. For what Chip's like, he's like the guy you know who's white.
Yeah,
but sometimes sounds black.
So he gets a little edge on him
sometimes.
Yeah, a little street.
Is it, and I don't know. I only watched some of the 311 ones, so I thought maybe it's because that's how his favorite band sounds. I don't know. You have to watch more episodes to see.
I'm from Alabama,
well,
man.
311 Day is in part celebrating the ways of 311. So I imagine eating.
It's like a ninja. It's kind of like Kung Fu.
Yeah, like eating and sleeping and breathing and stuff like that. They do that.
Riding on a tour bus.
You got to but probably, you know, sounding a little more street than they are. It's probably Chip's. I think Chip's always had that. He's just the kind of funny dude.
Right.
I'm there, man.
You're doing hosting for the first time, though, eh, Chip? Now, you did segments on Brewing TV, but with this one, you're like the host. You're the dude.
Yeah, I carried a couple of Brewing TVs there in the early, like, 2 years. There, towards the end, I was pretty much carrying it completely after Jake and Mike had already left. So the last four episodes are completely me plus somebody, and that's kind of where I knew I had the confidence to do it. But this isn't my – it's not my hope to continue it like that. I definitely want to – I'm kind of slowly building this crew, I guess. There I go, talking all gangster again. Me and my posse. You know, I want to like a four or five guys and maybe some lady friends that I can depend on to do the hosting. I really enjoy the shooting and the editing. But in order to get it off the ground as quickly as I could there after departing Brewing TV, I really had to just strike while the iron was hot. And that meant doing a couple of episodes completely solo, and then thankfully the last three have brought in some other people like Chris and good old Brian Adams and Don Osborne of YouTube homebrew fame.
Is he?
So it's a little bit of all-stars, man. You live in St. Paul, you got a nice subset of homebrewers to choose from for this kind of thing.
Well, that's a good... I like the idea of mixing it up. You got to be a pretty engaging personality, I think, for someone to want to listen or watch you all the time. That's why we have 30 hosts here at the Brewing Network. So I do like the idea of bringing... Especially with something like homebrewing. You know, you want different perspectives in there. So that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I did mention that I watched some of the first episode, the third episode. I watched some of the one we're talking about today with the Brewing for 311 and Dre Day, that Moscow played a clip for. I do. Can I offer just a little bit of constructive criticism, Chip?
Yes, I would not expect anything else.
Well,
don't like 311.
Yes. Yeah, just, all right. Well, I'm done. Yeah. We're done here, Chip.
Where was the constructive part of that?
All right. Well, I noticed that, and I don't know about other episodes, but for this particular episode, the set appears to be your laundry room. I'm looking at you and a washer and a dryer.
Yeah.
And a pegboard, and I'm going... I'm
thinking, I want a brew.
And I'm just going, why am I looking at Chip's goddamn laundry room right now?
But then I take you out of it back into the garage. If you look at episode 2, it's all about like the process of making bacon. We're in like a professional kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Another one has been in a kitchen. The other one's been on my porch. So you're right. And that's part of getting all of this like kind of away from my domestic space and my soul hosting this. Like to get into garages and basements and outdoor brew sessions, commercial kitchens, personal kitchens.
Other people's
laundry
rooms. But yeah,
that's my basement,
rooms.
Dude. I like my basement. It makes a pretty good set. It's got a lot of white walls to bounce lights off of. And
well, I didn't know it was a basement. All I saw was a washer and a dryer and you. So I don't know. I thought on today's episode of Chop and Brew, we're going to talk about Downey versus Tide.
Are you guys drinking either of these beers? We should kind of crack into it at least.
We did just open one.
Yeah, the NAS we started with, the Session IPA.
Okay.
Okay, you've already had the NAS.
We've got it in front of us right now.
So this is the one that Chip brewed dedicated to 311?
Well, there's two beers, but this is the one that... Yes, Chip's, yes. Yeah. That's correct.
I brewed this. It's called the NAS Session IPA. It's kind of an evolution of Drew Beecham's Pliny the Toddler. Very, very small grist of Maris Otter, domestic two-row, carapils, brew in a bag, easy style, mash pretty low, about 148. That's why it's coming off very dry. We don't actually have any. You have the last two bottles in existence, which I pointed out in the last episode is a complete waste of my beer.
Agreed.
There's Warrior, Columbus, Falconer's Flight, and Seven Seas. So the point of this was to be dank. I was trying to give 311 their SoCal dankness, but at the same time being a very extremely innocent beer. It's a little too dry. It was about 20 degrees maybe at the most during this brew day, so like doing the brew in the bag without another heat source kind of made the mash go low. So it's real dry, but I actually like that.
I did notice in the video that you do a brew in the bag technique. What is that exactly?
In this case, it was just like less than 9 pounds of grain put in a giant muslin bag and essentially just steeped. You know, you stir it, get it mixed up as you would in all grain, but you just kind of let it hang out in this giant bag. And at the end of it, instead of sparging that lengthy process, you're just going to pick it up and let it drain. You kind of make up for that lack of a sparge by bumping up the percentage of grain a little bit. So in this case, you know, I was able to do that in an 8-gallon kettle because it wasn't that much grain. But if you're making anything 10, 50 and above, you're probably not going to use that technique unless you have a bigger kettle.
Okay. It's good to know. I will be honest and tell you that the lazy dude in me saw that in the video and went, wow, this is fantastic.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, have you guys had that discussion much on the show, man? The brew in the bag is extremely easy, and I think it's kind of the way for anybody that's wanting to go all grain to definitely start there instead of, I don't know the other ways that you could even get into all grain besides being balls deep into it, but this way is definitely a little it's sick, dude. It's all grain.
A little friendlier. We haven't done it here on the session, but Jamil did one. Maybe it was a Brew Strong episode where they talked about brew in a bag techniques. But I don't listen to our shows, so this is the first time, it's the first I've heard of it.
I don't think we do shows.
Yeah.
There's debates whether you get all the extract that you can because you're not sparging it, but, dude, I just bump up the base malt. You're going to hold it, you know, above the kettle and drain it a good bit. And I've gone out of my way and actually sparged, quote unquote, a little bit with maybe like a pitcher of warm water. But
okay,
it's kind of the, yeah, like you said, it's the lazy man's all grain. But it turns out, I mean, this turned out, I don't know if by the time it got to you, if it's still as crystal clear as it was here, but it was like Pilsner clear, had no haze. It was actually one of the best brews out of my 70 plus beers ever. So I will be doing that technique a little bit more, I think.
I'm going to ask the guys about the beer here in a second, but I just noticed something weird on the YouTube page that I'm on for the Chop and Brew episode, and the number one related video next to it is is weird trick for baldness.
Why would you want baldness?
I don't know, but Chip, is that a coincidence? I mean, what the hell is going on here?
If you ever want to be bald, watch this weird trick.
Yeah. Oh, it's an ad. How do they know you're bald?
Oh, that's one of my land yaps, man.
It's an ad. It's not the first related one. The first related one is actually a Chop and Brew episode one. Two reds are better than one.
Dude, related videos are, I don't know. I don't get them.
Okay. I don't either. So the beer, the Session IPA, is very clean and nice. You're right that it's dry. I think you did a very nice fermentation. I do love this beer as a session beer. I don't know that the dankness is achieved unless it's been sitting around for a little while. Maybe it's just kind of dropped out. But as a just judging it solely on a session beer, it's a really nice beer, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think there's some dank in the flavor, a little bit, but not. I wouldn't call it super danky.
Maybe not in the aroma.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe I don't know. The Columbus would be the most dank of the hops and the Warrior a little bit, but they didn't come in, you know, at the very end.
I see.
So maybe focusing on the very very end hops. And Chris Payne's here has an interesting technique for getting hoppiness in general, where you don't put it in at the flame out. You kind of put it in around 150 degrees while you're chilling it.
Interesting. And,
to kind of reserve some of those volatiles, right?
Yeah, you're basically waiting for the steam to kind of stop, so you know that the volatiles are not going to be blowing off as much. So once you see that steam drop, dump them in there, do 20-minute whirlpool or whatever, and you know, hold on to some of those aromatics.
That's an interesting idea. And at 150 degrees or so, you're still not worried about contamination or anything?
No.
Don't you mean tamination?
Tamination.
What do you mean cunt?
Right. It's only one. all right. Well, I like the beer, and I'll tell you what, I would session drink the shit out of this on a nice barbecue day. This is a good beer, Chip.
I do, too. That keg was gone. Like I said, I filled your two bombers, and I went to pour myself a glass, and it, like, and I was like, oh, those assholes. They have my last NAS.
If it makes you feel better, next time you send it to us, you can just send us one bomber, because we're just pouring the rest out over the border.
Down Moscow's back?
Basically.
It's like, yeah.
All right, we're opening the other one now.
So, Chip.
If we can get to the Alana, what kind of... Yo, what's up, Tasty?
Why no crystal in your beer? What's the problem? You don't like crystal?
I do not like crystal, actually.
Is it not the NAS?
I feel like I want to add a teaspoon of sugar to this beer.
Okay. Well, what if I mashed it a little higher? Would that...
Well, yeah, you could, but you can't with that brew in a bag deal.
Well, I could if it wasn't 20 degrees, which it no longer is outside. I think it would hold its temperature a little better. But I ain't hating tasty, but I do. I ain't hating tasty, but I do hate caramel and crystal malts. So
why is it?
I think that
we'll get it out of the base. I think you're right. Then fine, that's fine. Just don't use it, but mash higher and get the dextrins out of your base malt.
Okay, yeah,
that's all. It's
I actually want to do an episode called "Just Say No to Sea Malts." And kind of talk about the other things that you can do, whether it's temperature shifts, maybe even yeast selection, or definitely different grains, you know, special bees and other things that can get you where you think that crystal is going to get you. Because I just think that's one of the the worst plights of a home brewers or even pro brewers, just relying on the, you know, that caramel malt gets kind of gummy, and after a while it calls itself out immediately and can sometimes really affect the enjoyment of a beer. I don't know if I'm alone in that. I'm sure.
I don't think you're alone in that at all. I think that was a turnoff early on for me with crystal malts. I think it's been tasty. A little bit of Doc, who turned me around with some better use of it, and probably even pointing out some commercial beers out here that use it that I would have said, oh, well, see, this is nice. It doesn't have crystal malt because it's not all sweet and tangy, but you guys would kind of set me straight and say, no, they're just using it right.
It's about attenuation, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. So no, I don't think you're wrong in that assessment there, Chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have time? Are you going to get to drink the golden sunlight?
We're doing it now. Stronger. So okay. What's explain this beer to us.
This is a Chris Payne's joint. Do you mind if I let him explain it?
Not at all. Do it, Chris.
I know you guys aren't a fan of the Belgian IPA, and I don't blame you. I myself am not really a fan, but I had some time, so I figured, you know, why not try it? It's a combo of like three different can you brew it kind of brewing ideas. I had some ideas from Scott Picaro from Captain Lawrence Extra Gold, where he's doing the Belgian triple, adding sugar to dry it out. I had some ideas from Patrick Rue from the brewery, using 18% rice as a kind of to thin the body out and give you some like cheap, easy fermentables to kind of put in place for the base malt.
Okay.
I had a pound of sugar to help drive the fermentation post, after 5 days I added it to make sure it really dried out the beer and ate up those off flavors, acetaldehyde, diacetyl, and, you know, whatever else. So, and with that, I wanted to make sure that the fermentation didn't rock it off and make a alcohol bomb of a IPA. So I really waited for the fermentation to slow down and added in there so it would kind of finish out. About 29 IBUs of Centennial, and then just dry hopped the shit out of it with Amarillo and Citra and late hopped it. So
nice.
Just a combo of all these great ideas I've pieced together from the Brew Network, and it seems to have worked out. So
awesome. What is the alcohol content of the beer?
7.5.
Okay. This is a good beer.
Yeah, it's great. It's super orangey, isn't it?
Cider.
It's citrusy, absolutely.
I do get a candied orange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Totally. Usually with citrus, I'm all lemon, but this one is orange.
Okay. I take another taste there.
Oh, it's about 68% Pilsner, 18% flaked rice, 3% honey malt, and 3% Munich. So no crystal malts. I've been kind of burned on, you know, abusing crystal malt, using too much of it. So I figured, let's try some honey malt, and it worked out. So,
well, I think this beer defies our Belgian IPA complaints, which are, one, that the very estery Belgian yeast doesn't go too well with hoppiness and bitterness. And I think this is a pretty low, in my opinion, on the ester scale.
It's low in phenolics.
Yeah. Phenolics, thank you. I always screw that up, don't I?
Well,
yeah.
It's an ester.
Okay. And then the other part is it's not extremely bitter. So the combination of the low phenolics and the low bitterness, yet it's still big, like a big Belgian IPA, I think that's what makes it a good one, man.
Yeah, I think the lack of crystal to kind of compete with the hops, you know, helps that bitterness, even at 29 IBU, stand out. And, you know, the spice from the WLP 530 Abiel, you know, kind of, you know, adds some bitterness that you normally wouldn't calculate for a beer.
Okay. I can see that. I like this beer. I like both of these beers. You guys, and I'll tell you what, Chip, from watching the video, even though you do kind of a fast edit of the brew day, I got the sense that you guys know what you're doing in a brew house. There wasn't a lot of fumbling around in there. They're going right in with thermometers. They're checking mash temps. They're stirring. They're not all like delicate about it like I am, like worried that I'm screwing everything up. They're just in there doing it. And I did get the impression that you guys have been brewing for a while. And I think this beer shows that too.
Well, cool. Thank you, man. Yeah, I was proud of both of these beers. Like I said, the NAS is my personal favorite from a long time. A couple of beers I did right before were specifically not awesome. So when that came out, I was just like, yes, thank you.
Right.
Throw me a bone, Mother Fermentus.
Well, they make me feel like the brothers are the source of the love in the room. Did I get that right?
No, you have to feed off of their life energy.
Oh, they make me feel like I can suck the life out of the brothers in the room.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, that doesn't sound right either.
No, and then when you're done, you put the bathing suit back on them.
I see. Yeah. I got it right that time, right?
You
Chip?
Did.
Yeah.
Okay, good. There it is.
There you go.
So how many episodes are out of Chop and Brew?
What's that?
How many episodes of Chop and Brew are out?
There are 5.5 right now.
Okay. Do you have like a schedule? Are you trying to get them out once a month or something? Or
I'm trying to stay BTV true, man. I've been doing every other week on Fridays. I've slipped a couple times and gone to Sunday. And then this last episode, 5.5, is not so much. Well, I didn't think it was a full-fledged episode. It was kind of me phoning it in and kind of throwing out some links where someone might go see something this week instead of me, and people actually really liked it as an episode.
Be careful, Chip. Be careful. Once you start cutting corners, it's a downward spiral.
Yeah, I won't go into it. It's been tough to maintain right up front because I've got a grad class and this, that, and the other thing. But that's about to end, and we're about to go into. We've got 3 episodes shot. Chris Paynes has like 2 episodes storyboarded. So that's the beauty, or hopefully it's the beauty, of Chop and Brew is as opposed to Brew and TV. There won't be the pro beer element. So there's no need to travel in order to tell these stories. These are old stories that I can hopefully tell from my own washing machine.
Right.
Or from the next neighborhood over, or, you know, there may be traveling in it one day in the long off future. But for right now, I'm just trying to get a good baker's dozen episodes under our belt that actually do fulfill the chop and the brew, and it doesn't just turn into simply one or the other.
You should turn the washing machine on next time. See what that adds to the
put the camera in it.
See what that does for you.
Where's my GoPro?
Yeah.
Hey, I got to see Sean Paxton this last week. He was here for 3 days, and one of our upcoming episodes is actually going to be essentially just one of his PowerPoints, but you know how he gets all anecdotal in between slides. So
right.
I think it's going to be a good episode as far as like completely nerding out on the function of cooking. We don't see him cooking because he's just presenting it to a group called Better Beer School University. But
so
it was cool
talking
to see Pat. What's up, Chris?
So he's talking for a long time.
Yeah. You guys know how Sean rolls.
Yeah, make sure you have a lot of tape.
7-hour nachos, baby.
It's the first hour and a half Chop and Brew.
Sorry, Sean Paxton.
It never ends.
Yeah, part 89 of Sean Paxton opening the beer.
Then you make the 79th nacho.
Each handmade.
Oh, Paxton.
From an artesian Guatemalan woman.
Where can people go to find Chop and Brew, Chip?
They can go to chopandbrew.com. They can go to facebook.com/chopandbrew. They can go to youtube.com/chopandbrew and Twitter @chopandbrew.
Beautiful.
That's right. You guys have time for a couple of questions, or are you wrapping me out? Are you hooking me?
No, I think I got time. Let me see. Let me look. I don't think all our tasters are here yet. I got time. What do you got?
Well, a couple of fans, when I put out on ye old internets, if there was any questions that somebody would have us ask of you guys, I guess basically the guy named John wanted to know if he's got a hoppy, bitter India Pale Lager, would you suggest he enter it in a specialty category or just straight up try to get away with it in an IPA? And then Brian in the UK specifically asked, when is Tasty going to write a book to take his fair share of the limelight? I bet he's a gold mine of knowledge and a brewer wisdom.
I can answer both of those.
Yeah, where do you put it?
I can answer question 2, actually. It's the only question. As soon as Tasty finds a ghost writer so that he doesn't have to do any of the writing, a book will come out.
I'm way too lazy to do something like that.
What about the first question, though? That's a good question, Tasty. So it's an IPA, but it's a lager, if I got that right?
Yeah. IPA. So it's just lager. That just means it's fermented with the lager yeast at lager temperatures. What does it taste like? I'd have to taste it. If it tastes like an IPA, IPA.
He calls it hoppy and bitter. I get the impression he's accentuating the bitter, like it is probably
so it's coming down. It's hop forward.
The fermentation is allowing the bitterness to like really sing.
Well, how about we do a little process of elimination? If he enters it into a specialty beer category, he's going to be competing against some potentially much more clever beers.
Right.
Do you think so?
Yeah, something more glamour.
So even if it does fall under that category and it's a very good beer, I think the likelihood of it getting beat out by a more interesting beer.
Well, unless the judges can say, oh, yeah, this is definitely a lager. And, yeah, I get it. It's an IPA.
Okay.
If the name justifies what it actually is,
okay,
then they would be enamored with that.
Okay.
But if it tastes like an IPA and you say it's a lager, you're going like,
it just tastes like an IPA
to me.
If they can taste it as a lager, then yeah. But,
okay.
But if you're going to brew a hoppy lager, why are you trying to enter it into a competition that's strictly?
It's for fun.
You're not going to do well in lagers. You're not going to do well in any category that you put it in. You're not.
Well, unless, and I think this is what Tasty means by he has to taste it. If it tastes like a fantastic IPA and it just happens to be lagered, then you'd enter it in that category and you might win. I think that's why might take, because it could taste like maybe it's the best IPA ever
because
he lagered it.
There's no way. The yeast profile is completely different. I guarantee it doesn't taste like IPA.
Well, it could be neutral.
In the history of tasting beers, there's nothing for no way.
There's no way. I guarantee it.
No way.
You can't. First of all, you can't guarantee it.
I just did it.
you can't
tell me I can't. I just did it.
You can't.
There's no way.
It's his guarantee.
It's the JP guarantee.
Yeah.
Take that to the bank.
Exactly.
Well, so JP's answer is what then? How would you enter it?
Well, you can't enter in. Well, you could enter in special, but it's not going to do well. You could enter it. Technically, you could enter it in both. You can enter it in a IPA. You can enter it in a specialty, but you're not going to score well in either category because if you look at the guidelines for an IPA, the qualifications, any flavors you're going to get from hoppy lager are not in the brackets of an IPA, it's not going to do well. But you can do it, sure.
Okay. My answer is if it tastes like a badass IPA, regardless of whether you've lagered it or not, enter it under IPA because I think you might get beat out under specialty. And Tasties...
If it tastes like a lager beer, even though it's an IPA, put it in specialty because that's...
Because they'll
say,
read the description and go...
It is like a lager.
Creamy
texture, you know.
All right, and Tasty...
They'll see that you went for it and you achieved it, and that will...
Yeah.
That will be the impression.
Exactly.
Right. So let's recap. So JP's answer again is you're going to lose anyway.
You're going to lose.
Yeah, well, he might be right.
I'm super right. I'm totally, absolutely right.
You made a beer out of style. Now, good luck with that. Right?
Yeah, you made a beer out of style, and you want to know how many times you can waste your fucking $6 entry fee? You're an asshole. That's what you want to do. Send me your money. But no, seriously, whoever this dude is, guys, I want to try his beer. At least update us on whenever he feeds his beer to these poor people.
I wouldn't taste
judges.
It after if he sends it to us, JP.
I want to know what he gets, scored, and what
like,
categories he enters.
This bottle is labeled for JP.
That's really light.
Yeah.
Well, enter in both categories and let us know how that turns out.
Yeah, let us know.
And Tasty, bro. Is there going to be a Tasty book?
My little
not about
book.
Beer.
Right.
Not about beer.
Yeah. It'll be featured next month.
Girls with father issues. That's what's going to be.
Yeah. It's actually a new category over at Adam and Eve. Use coupon code BNARMY. You get a free one. All right, guys. Anything else we can do for you?
Jeremy Landis wanted to know why JP is such a tool.
It all starts back with my father.
I think he answered that like in the last 5 minutes, right?
Hey, look, if honesty means that you're a tool, then I'm a tool.
No,
I'm just trying to help people out.
You can suck a dick.
maybe I should go in my laundry room. I'll have a little more clout.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't ask, man.
Yeah, why are you attacking Chip for?
I'm making fun of Chip because I love Chip. I thought we were having fun. I'm sorry. Did I ruin it?
I thought we were having fun. Chip. Fuck you.
I'll be a cancer chip.
And your washing machine, bitch.
Yeah. Probably don't even have a fucking front loader, idiot.
I hope you have a short in your washing machine during the next shoot.
You're standing in water.
I don't care.
Yeah, you're out of balance indicator.
All right, Chip, give us the web addresses one more time, please.
Oh, chopandbrew.com and then Facebook, YouTube, both of those / chopandbrew, and then Twitter at chopandbrew.
Awesome. The great Chip Walton and Chris Paynes over at Chop and Brew. Thanks for being on the show with us, guys. We appreciate it.
Chris Paynes for president.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Chip.
There you go. The biggest 311 fan in the world has his own show. And it's not about 311, except in episodes 3, 7, 12, and 13.
So far.
The beer was good, though. Was it
the
not?
Beer was yeah, it
the
was really good.
For it is not.
Yeah, 311 didn't get it. We did.
And I'll tell you, I really meant that the sessionable quality of the session beer was really awesome. And the Belgian IPA not having the characteristics that we hate was very nice.
Yeah, it was well done.
So good job to both. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to cast our votes, our final betting lines for the Brewcaster Challenge. And soon, the actual taste-off. All right, it's going the session. Down. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like AHA member deals that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and Zymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your homebrewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry, and to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online, or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
I-10, huh? Getting tired of that same old handcrafted beverages day after day? Are you looking for something with more diversity than your normal beer? Fellow BN Army member Michael Fairbrother, owner of Moonlight Meadery, is reviving an entire beverage category. Mead!
The meads at Moonlight Meadery are all handcrafted from the finest honey on the market and are perfect for any occasion, like weddings, baby showers, or...
Excuse me? Mead is not your average girly drink, mister, and Moonlight Meads can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere. Football games with the guys.
Yeah.
Barbecues with the guys.
Yeah.
Operating power tools with the guys.
Yeah. Actually, sir, that's really dangerous.
Good point, son.
Next time you have something to celebrate or are just looking for a new tasting experience, pick up a bottle of mead from Moonlight Meadery. Now in 21 states, making over 60 varieties of mead from dry, semi-sweet to sweet.
Break out of that craft beer lull. Grab a bottle of Moonlight Mead. Can't find some? Then ask. No, make that demand some.
Yeah!
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry, uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering, but it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I mean, yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is brewers just say, yeah, I don't brew to style. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know?
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck.
You're listening to The Session.
my mind. Everybody's fucking with my mind.
Little things that make you tick, 'cause I got 2 weeks till Christmas, and I wanna buy my girlfriend a gift. Oh well, it's from the banner, I can tell, I can tell, I can tell. I guess I don't respond well to middle management. Most of them are spineless little bastards with the grudge against anyone like me who won't put up with an attitude. Monkey's pinching pennies, telling me what to do. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I could understand a little better if you're up at Trump Tower, but you're turning into monsters for $10 an hour. You're cowards. Like monkeys with whips, I make a buck less than you, and you want me to do backflips? Nah, you're mistaken. Gotta bring home the bacon, but it's not worth the shit that I'm taking. The smiles you're faking, I'm sure I have my price, but it's more than $9.75. Oh, got tired. Every day was the same. All up until I got fired. Oh, oh, got tired. Every day was the same. All up until I got fired. No more of the same. No more of the same thing. No more of the same. Same thing. Save up some money, but I'm way too impatient. I know that a week in the ways within my reach. Cause Yankee's got a buddy, you can put me in a room on the beach. No fee, no fee, just food and gasoline, gasoline, gasoline. Just gotta hop a couple hurdles that could make it hard. A small check, insure and register my car. I know I'll just put it on a credit card. Get a job, make minimum payments, still the two-word start. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. Freedom at last, I got a pack of cigarettes, a 12-pack of pants, and I'm set with the materials I need to forget. I told my girlfriend the news and she isn't even upset. She's the best, bless your little soul. When she gets home, dinner's ready and I'll pack her a bowl. I'll pack my lady a bowl. All up until I got fired. Oh, oh, got tired. Every day was the same. All up until I got fired. No more of the same. No more of the same thing. No more of the same. No more of the same thing.
the session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Yeah, it is so close to the tasting that I can almost taste it.
I can feel the excitement in the air.
It's the Brewcaster Challenge, the first one. JP versus myself, JP versus Justin, and we both brewed hoppy American Red Ales. That's BJC true. Style number 97.
00.
Yeah.
10B.
I think we should make it official, by the way.
Real money.
I have a twomp right here. And if you want to take it, I can throw
I'll take your 20 right now.
That's not real.
Well, no, but I mean in a betting format.
Oh.
Yes, excuse me.
This is a side bet? Is that what they call a side bet?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
There's nothing wrong with side bets. So right now, in fact, we're about to go through the betting right now before we get into beers. So a little side bet action, JP, right now. You're throwing down $20 on yourself.
Yeah. You against me. That's it. There's no other action in the room.
So just head to head, 20.
I think I only have $5 in my wallet. Is an IOU okay? Do I need to go across the street to the ATM?
Please go
during
the ATM.
Yeah, we'll start a long pause here.
I'll put a $5 down payment.
Well, unless someone confronts you.
I confront you.
Anybody else got the 15?
Oh, yeah, I confront you.
Because I will take this bet. And anybody else want in on the side bet action?
Oh, I'm in.
Maybe I shouldn't have done this right now, but...
Here's the 20.
Who gets to? How do we do this? Who gets the pot if there's multiple people in?
I have no idea on the
bet.
I don't know. When I gamble, I bet penny machines. I don't know how to do this.
Nate's in on it. Tasty, a cheap bastard.
I don't want to win nor lose, so I don't know what the matter. You know.
Tasty's the only one in the room with a real job, and Nate's the only one in the room with a real job.
He's got a real job. Yeah.
I want a job.
Beaver, you want in?
Oh hell no.
Yeah. Right. So what happens? I don't know now.
So all that's missing here is my $15 that I owe. I'm good for you. Know
I
where
think
I
Nate's
work.
20 was for you.
Oh, that no, that was that mine?
No, that's for me. But I got you covered.
Oh, okay,
but
yeah. Right, in case right. I'm not good for it, you don't have to break my knees.
Yeah,
you can break my kneecaps.
Yeah, Nate cosigned.
I did.
All right.
Look at this, Jay. You got your staff paying you.
Yeah.
I saw stated income.
Dream has come true.
It's really just the next part of the plan, Moscow. Yeah. I'm just executing. Phase C.
I just wanted to point it out.
Yes.
Watch him bolt off the balcony and start swimming in the creek.
Right, yeah. This whole Brewcaster Challenge, we're going to be doing one a week for the next. Yeah.
And I'll tell you who wins in 2014.
All right. So here's what we need to do before we get into the beers, which will be judged and voted upon here in the studio. And that will be done on the air. But what we first need to do is finalize the bets, okay? Because throughout the Brewcaster Challenge season, which is probably as long as a baseball season, it's enormously, or hockey.
Infinity, yeah.
It's so long. You are able to gather points so that not only will we have a Brewcaster Challenge brewer winner at the end of the season, who's won the most brew-offs, but we'll have a betting winner, the one who most accurately judged the brewing skills of the brewcasters, if you will. So here's what we'll do. Everybody did cast a vote. Most everybody cast a vote the last time we talked about this. We'll reveal those votes as we go down to each one of you, and we'll allow you to change your vote if you want to. Okay, but it will be your final vote to get you the points. JP and I, we decided, and we're going to make up a lot of these Brewcaster Challenge rules as we go. The brewers themselves can't vote. And there's a couple reasons for that. For one, I could have thrown it from the beginning, for example.
Right.
And just, which would have been stupid, but it's possible.
You probably did it on purpose, on accident.
Yeah, but certainly. Second of all, we have inside information on the last day of betting today. So if for example, and there's no way this would have happened, but if, for example, I were to have bottled a beer today and tasted it and known that it was fully infected and contaminated and awful... Oh. I'd bet JP, right? Because I would know I have inside information.
Like large,
so that's how it'll go. In whatever round it is, the brewers themselves don't get to earn points in the so JP and I will be lagging behind, which is weird, in the points, in the betting points from the get go. So why don't we just go down the list there, Moscow, and finalize some votes. The line is 3-2 in JP's favor. What does that mean exactly, Moscow?
It basically means that whoever predicts
If you predict JP and JP's favorite, well, then you don't get 1 point. You get 0.67 points, right? Because 0.67 to 1 is 2 to 3.
I'm lost already.
It's, in other words, if you bet on the underdog, you get paid out more. If you bet on the favorite, you don't get a whole point. But it's going to be a point system. So it incentivizes you to bet on the underdog because you get paid out more if you're right.
So if you bet on JP today and he wins, you'll end up with 0.67 points.
That makes sense to you, but you have to take your gravity 26 times.
I'm a
Snoop.
Gravity isn't a sin. I'm very good at the sin thing. Gambling, drinking.
It's a vice.
Hookers, strippers. These things I understand, Bevo.
I apologize. My mistake.
Brewing is wholesome. Okay, so if you bet on me, how many points do you get?
You'll get 1.5.
1.5 points.
That's right. So, first of all, thanks to Steve from Jersey for making us this nice, nifty Google Doc we're going to use.
Of course, our bookie is from Jersey.
Of course.
I have to just point that out.
Yeah, so we're going to track it through the season, as it were, on this doc.
Okay, and then, of course, if you know, if the person you vote for loses, you don't get any points. So, that's I hope that's clear to everybody involved. All right, so now you know the lines. You've heard us talk about the beers up until now, but we will not give any more information about the beer. And all we're going to do really is talk about the recipes and the brewing process anyway, before we actually do the taste voting. So right now, everyone gets a chance to cast their final bets. And your bet for the points will be the same, for those of you who weren't pussies, Tasty, as your bets in the side bet, in the side pool here. All right. Moscow, why don't we start with you? Who did you go with last time?
My original bet was JP. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, fucker.
Yeah.
Well, I did try some of this beer, but
wait,
but it was 2 weeks ago.
Wait a second.
I just, you know, full disclosure.
I don't know that any of the bettors can try the beer.
Even if it's 2 weeks, so much can change.
That's inside information. Fail, and you two should have known better.
No, because he won't know.
Should have bit your tongue on that one, buddy.
He'll even know.
I'm betting when he's betting.
If when he had it, it was warm and flat out of the fermenter.
That's true.
But if he has any taste memory at all,
which I
even
don't.
In the voting now, if mine, and it probably does taste wildly different, he will know whose beer is whose, and he can vote in his own direction.
You're giving my palate way too much credit.
No. This is a fail. And I think we're going to have to allow it this time because we're short on judges and shit. But this, we can't do that anymore.
You're probably right. But I will say that I even said it on the last show. When it carbonated and it cooled down, tasted completely different. And I actually faltered on my confidence level. The malt kind of went away. The hops kind of did this weird thing. So it is literally a different beer.
I can see that, but... Still, if mine is even more different, which it's likely to be, he picks the one that's closest to what he tasted the last time.
Just to get fake points?
So, well, it's
you
points.
You don't think he would have the integrity?
Have you ever met him? He's one of the most... the only person in the room more competitive than me is that guy.
And he's really confused. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Right.
Scott, you're a loser.
I'm not competitive. I'm just right. What's the difference?
Well, there you
there
go.
There you go.
So, first, I'm disappointed in both of you.
Sorry, Dad. I apologize.
But I did say we'd be making rules as we go anyway, so this is okay. This is a learning experience.
Now we know.
Write down, we need to have a Google Doc of rules, please. Write down in the rule that nobody but the competitors may taste their beer. Other non-voters can taste it if you want your neighbor to come over or somebody who's not.
Sure.
But anybody casting a vote cannot taste the beer in any part of the process. Does anybody disagree with that rule?
That makes sense.
No.
All right. Fucking cheaters.
If I was cheating, I wouldn't have told you.
Well, that was inadvertent.
You should be forced to vote the opposite way now. Because you have...
No!
Because, well, then he's not inclined to vote for the one that will get him points.
But then there's still vote tampering. It's just in your favor instead of potentially, possibly, maybe mine, but not really.
JP, I don't make the rules. I just make the rules.
If you think that my tasting it is going to influence my vote in JP's favor, you're sadly mistaken. It was flat and terrible.
It was. It was flat. And what? It was flat.
Do we need to make him change his vote, or are we okay with him staying with his vote? Anybody have an objection to Moscow?
No, we'll let him off this time.
Okay. All right, so Moscow's staying with JP. Tasty. Who did Tasty vote last time?
He had Justin.
Yeah. And it's still 2-3, right?
That's correct.
you guys haven't like talked about like what, how you thought the beer came out. You can't say that.
No, we're going to do it after you place your vote. We did talk about it that day when you did your current one.
I liked that update. That's kind of why I was thinking.
Yeah,
well,
it's kind of lacking any new information. We thought that, and again, you know, we can change this for other brewcaster challenges. We thought that on the final day of voting, we know everything about our beer.
Right.
At this point,
so whatever you would and say would be too.
We could reveal something that we would just be like, "Well, yeah, that's the thing, man. I got to change. I got to go for that."
All right.
So
we'll talk
it's
about
more
that.
Your gut.
All right.
And you did vote.
I'm going to leave it the same. Then I'm going to go. Thank you.
Your gut stays with
two
me.
To 3 odds, yeah.
And that's a nice gut to stay
that's
with
a
me.
Terrible
right
gut.
That's a lot of fucking gut.
It's a nice gut. All right.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Did Susie vote last time?
She did. She had JP.
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry. I have you turned off, Seuss.
You had okay. Well, then, whoever made the spreadsheet, Steve from Joyzy.
Okay.
Okay. I'll switch.
Seuss, you were with me last time.
I was with you.
I knew I liked that Asian broad for a reason. Where are you going this time? I should bite my tongue.
I'm going with you.
That a girl.
You do pay the bills.
All right. Yeah. I pay
really?
Like yeah,
barely.
Yeah. Like occasionally, I give a quarter in her meter. I haven't even
yeah,
done
you
that
do. In the slot.
Occasionally, Seuss gets a quarter in her slot. All right, two for me, one for the Jip. Nathan, did Nate vote last time?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you might not have been here for that show.
No, I think I missed that one.
Do you understand the spread?
I do.
Do you understand that my beer is called JP Killer?
I do understand that, yes. You tried to influence the vote here a little
no,
bit?
There's
maybe?
No rule against that yet. So who do you think's a...
I'm going to have to pick Justin, I think, because...
How?
JP has poor attention to detail and he's lazy. So do you.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, excuse me? Yeah.
So do you, yeah. But Chad did it for you and he's a good brewer, so.
Chad didn't do it!
Yeah. All right. I like Chad's beer, so.
Okay. There's a lot of faith in the worst brewer in the room so far. Did Bevo vote last time?
I don't think so.
Okay. Moscow, do you have Bevo down as voting?
No.
Okay. So, Beav. Do you need us to explain the spread again?
No, because I don't care.
Okay.
Say, I need Bevo to explain the spread.
That's awesome. I am going to...
Why are you looking at... Is the chat room helping you vote?
Not at all.
You
no.
can vote for the chat room
I'm
if you want.
I'm just looking down and
okay.
to the right.
Okay.
Or, wait. Left.
wow.
Yeah.
So, I've brewed with Chad before.
I didn't
I
brew
was his
with
bitch.
Chad.
He brewed the beer, but I just did all the dirty work. I'm going to vote for JP because I think he worked harder. And
woo! I did not brew with Chad.
Straight from the mouth of babes.
Chad
okay?
was there.
Brewing.
For he some, was not brewing.
With me.
He was there dumping in the grain.
No!
And, telling you, and saying, okay, right at this point is where you're supposed to stir.
That is and not... What happened at all.
And then
all.
He did everything else, and then he was like, okay, and this is where you clean out the big
if
metal
you,
pot.
If you really believe that was true, you'd vote for me, because you'd know it would be a better beer than JP's.
Ooh.
So your logic is flawed.
I disagree.
You look good in red, Bevo.
Thank you.
It's the only thing I'm going to give you. All right, that's one more for Jip. Doc texted me in his vote.
Let me guess, you...
It's me.
That's weird.
Well,
Doc, I would never have thought that.
Doc originally had JP, so he has changed his bet.
Oh, there you go, JP.
Doc probably forgot it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know who I am. Is there Remember. Anybody not in the room that we're missing?
Jay-Z?
That's on that list.
Oh, not that's on the list.
Let's see. I had, I did try to get a vote in from Jay-Z. No vote. Okay, so Jay-Z's not voting in this round. He's going to... And lose points.
Yeah. Well, he's probably busy. Warren's out of town.
I see. So nobody else to vote that's on that list.
No, sir. And we're at 5 for you and 3 for JP.
See, that's bullshit.
Well, Jesus, okay. The odds probably changed somewhere along there.
Yeah. Well, Jay sends the checks.
Now, JP, you're voting for me, right?
No, I'm voting for me, dog.
Okay.
If well, even though if our votes counted.
All right. Well, now that those votes are in, we can start to talk a little bit about it.
I'm sorry. Does the chat get to vote? I don't know how people would tally that up, but they wanted to ask, so...
Yeah, I don't know how we... Yeah, let them vote.
They can vote all they want.
Let them vote. Right. But I don't know how Bevo's... Bevo had a hard time...
Counting her left from right.
So, yeah, counting okay. her left from her right.
All right.
So, I...
I'm not doing that.
Susie, you're Asian. You're good with numbers, right? Can you... No?
I didn't get any... I can't do math.
I didn't get any of those Asian
Big hands can't do math.
I
what
can't
is that
see
about?
The internet right now.
Yeah, one of you can't see the internet.
I don't
the
have
other
an
one.
Abacus with me.
No. All right. Okay. Yeah. If chat, you want to send several votes over to Bevo, she'll attempt to tally them, and
we'll
give you an inaccurate.
Theo just attempt.
Theo Bruce says that he would try to.
Okay, yeah, there he goes. Outsource it, Bees.
Send him to Theo.
Have you learned nothing from
me?
That's true.
Outsource it to Theo Bruce. Send your votes over to Theo.
Send your votes over to Theo.
And he'll give us a final tally. Yeah. Okay. So here's, now, JP, what I'd like us to do is describe the brewing process and the recipes.
Okay.
What I would not like us to do is reveal anything about how the beer tastes now.
Okay.
So, for example, there are things I know about my beer that I'm actually really looking forward to talking about after we judge. But I don't want to do any of that because we don't want to give anything revealing about who you guys are going to be doing a blind tasting.
Yeah.
So we'll give you two beers, and I don't want them knowing anything about them.
Right.
So we'll talk recipe, and I know that'll give away some flavor profile, but that's okay. We'll talk recipe, and we'll talk brew day. I would also say it might be good. Should we talk about our mistakes now or wait until after and just only talk about the process we attempted to do? We think.
I think our mistakes after because maybe I don't know. I mean,
I think you're right.
Like, let's say when you know, if you say, "Well, Chad boiled too long," and so there's, you know, then someone might perceive a scorched thing, and you know, then they go, "Oh, well, that's Jay's beer."
You know, I have a new rule for my house, JP.
What is it?
You are not allowed to show up uninvited.
And I knew I did it on purpose too to catch you out, and it worked.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. Let's just talk about the process we at least attempted to do, and then leave out, and we'll do all mistakes and stuff afterward.
Okay,
okay. Who wants to go first? Does anybody have a coin? I don't want to skew anything in any direction.
I can go first. I'm more than
happy.
I feel
like we should flip a coin. Nobody has a coin. Oh, well, flip this $5 bill right here. Okay. All right?
No, that doesn't...
And,
flip a bottle cap.
Wait, we got a coin. We got a coin.
There we go. Heads, JP goes first. Tails, I go first.
And that is tails.
Okay. So, here's the recipe. You know, it's really nothing mysterious here.
Can you read Jamil's writing?
As you know, I brewed an evil twin clone, which I gave JP every opportunity to reject that we do an existing recipe or a clone recipe, and he did not reject it.
That's true.
So there is no leg to stand on that it is not valid in this competition.
Oh, he's going to protest you.
Yeah. So here's what happened. I will say this. I did have to measure my own shit because the only person lazier than me is Chris Kennedy over at Heretic Brewing Company. Actually, Chris was busy cleaning everything in the brewery when I got there. And he said, here, you know, go downstairs. He got everything
out of my way.
I only bring that up because I genuinely do suck even at getting ingredients. I screw up the scale. It won't be on pounds or it won't be on ounces when it's supposed to be. I do so many stupid things like that.
No talent ass clown.
But here's what the recipe is supposed to be. 24.5 pounds of Great Western Pale Ale malt. 3.35 pounds of C75. 2.15 pounds of Munich. 3 ounces of roasted barley. And 2.4 ounces of Carafa 3. And this is for, a 12-gallon batch, but, you know, coming out with 10 gallons. I did 0.6 ounces of Columbus for 60 minutes. 2.1, and then that's it for the boil, actually. And then the rest was 2.1 ounces of Citra at Whirlpool and 2.1 ounces of Columbus at Whirlpool. And then the idea was actually to let that whirlpool last for quite a while. So I had written down to let it last for at least 40 minutes before I knocked it out. And I think it actually went closer to an hour. So probably right around 50 to 55 minutes at Whirlpool. Then I got to dry hop a little bit later, just before the end of fermentation. And I didn't measure that all that perfectly, but... I did measure it, and it was just about before the end of fermentation. 2 ounces of Citra and an ounce of Columbus for the first dry hop. And then I waited 3 days. This was based on the recipe I was given, and put in an additional 2.2 ounces of Citra and 1 ounce of Columbus for a second dry hop. I did not dump the first dry hop out of the bottom of the fermenter when I added the second dry hop. I kept it all in there. I think then I only waited another 4 days or so on those dry hops, maybe 5 days. I didn't take as good a notes as I'm supposed to, as usual. And then I finally dumped the bottom. I dumped the hops and the yeast out. I chose the Edinburgh yeast based on Neva's recommendation. Jamil thought it was a good idea, although he didn't have any idea how it might affect the beer. I thought it was a nice idea, so I just went for it just for fun. My estimated OG was to be around 1064 and to ferment down to 1014. A pretty standard brewing process. I mashed at 154 and did that for like an hour. And then I did a knockout temp thing, you know, where you raise it up to 168 or so. And then I sparged. I did a pretty long sparge. It took at least an hour, actually. It took a while. And then did the boiling process you saw here. I cooled with a Therminator wort chiller. Got it right down to pitching temperature. I did do a yeast starter with that Edinburgh yeast. I did two vials of it 2 days before into a 2,000 mil starter. So that sucker was ready to go. Pitched it and fermented low at, I believe it was 66 degrees is where I fermented the beer. And as far as I could tell, without talking about how I tasted it, just in terms of how the temperature went, I used a pretty badass more beer conical fermenter, so the temperature stayed where it was supposed to be, and I was able to I might have let it rise at the end up to about 68 just to make sure if anything was left to clean up, and that was all pretty simple to do, so you could count on a pretty solid at least in terms of steadiness, the temperature stayed where they were supposed to be for fermentation and all of that. And then I kegged when did I keg this beer? About 6 days ago. I did use Biofine. I looked at finings based on one of the conversations we had here on the show. I looked at the gelatin and the Biofine, and I read over on More Beer in the description of Biofine that it is as discussed on the Brewing Network.
Oh.
So I was like, well, I guess I better go with Biofine because apparently it's our deal.
We talked about it once.
Yeah. I dumped half a bottle of Biofine into each keg at the time of kegging. So I put the Biofine in the bottom, and then I transferred through the dip tube, you know, with a closed transfer, hoping that it would do a good mix of everything. And then I have not transferred off of the Biofine. I just poured some pints off of it before pouring into the growler that we have here. Am I missing anything? I think that's about the whole deal, right?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right. Now we'll do JP's beer.
My beer, a.k.a. the winning beer. let's see, where is my thing? I used 14.8 ounces of pale two-row malt. That's a base malt. Then I used 2.5 pounds of Crystal 40, 2 pounds of Munich malt, 2 pounds of Crystal 60, and 2 pounds of Crystal 15.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of crystal.
Yeah.
2 ounces of roasted barley and 2 ounces of Carafa 2, dehusked. Special Carafa 2, dehusked. So I mashed at 154. Mashed for my hour. Actually, it was probably more like an hour and a half. Boiled, I added, what did I add? I added 2.25 ounces of Magnum at 60 minutes. And then did my whole boil. I used Whirlflock instead of nothing like you did.
How much?
We weren't supposed to talk about mistakes.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
It was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I know. How much? I used one tablet.
One tablet.
For 10 gallons?
But we weren't. Whatever. and then I used 1.5 ounces of Chinook and 1 ounce of... it says anti, but it's supposed to be Amarillo hops at 10 minutes.
But it was Antibuse instead? Is
no,
that
I made it, I made an error, and I probably shouldn't even mention it, so nice. Don't worry about it. Okay. Chinook and Amarillo for 10 minutes left in the boil, and I let those sit through my whirlpool. I did a 20-minute whirlpool, like a proper whirlpool edition.
Yeah, you did it wrong.
And then cooled it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then transferred over, and I pitched my gigantic starter of White Labs San Diego Super Yeast. And, of course, it took off like a rocket.
It's San Diego. How many mil?
It was, I think the starter I made was like a 4,000 mil. But I think actual slurry that I pitched in was probably, I don't know, 500 mils or something like that.
Off the top.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dry hopped after 4 days with some more Chinook and Amarillo blend, an ounce of each. And I fermented at 64 degrees.
64.
Yeah.
Is that as instructed on the bottle, or that's your own?
That's my own. I like to ferment cold. My ales, I like to ferment a little bit cold.
Yeah.
It's a tip I picked up from one of my favorite breweries, but I probably shouldn't mention it.
because it will influence
it
the judges.
It might influence the judges. I don't know.
Yeah.
And basically everything was, that's it.
And this was your recipe, right?
This is my recipe, yeah.
Irrelevant. In the rules of the game.
Does the beer have a name, JP?
Was there anybody?
The beer does not have a name.
Was there anybody at your house?
It does have a name. Dragon's Blood.
That's right. I was going to propose suck a dick red ale or something, but Dragon's Blood is a nicer name.
Was there anybody at your house during Brew Day?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there was. Was there?
That was a weird
answer.
Was
somebody there or somebody not there?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Were they or were they not there?
I don't know!
Liar!
The jury will disregard the last argument.
I think, you didn't come over. You came over from when I brewed the oatmeal stout, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So no, there's no one.
John Meyer from Rogue stopped by for a while.
Yeah.
Helped JP do some work.
Yeah, he shook his beard in the conical. It was great, dude. Right. Don't worry about him.
Right. Okay, yeah. Any other information that we did not get out of JP? All right, let's get these beers poured, if we can, and brought up to the studio. And here's how this is going to go. Only because I don't, you guys know I don't like the tasting during a show to happen, because it's a big bore, and everyone's going to think, I'm going to go to somebody, what do you think, what do you do? And they're going to taste for, 90 seconds.
I dislike that.
But, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to taste off air right here in the studio. However, there will be no discussion about the beer. Okay, guys? And I'm telling this to the folks at home, too. We'll all have the two anonymous beers in front of us, labeled however they label them. Taste. Think about it. Make some mental notes. You're then going to write on the piece of paper in front of you which beer you voted for. And you're going to put it in the pitcher. There will be no discussion whatsoever about the beers at all at the break. When we come back, we'll reveal the winner, at which time we will then go back to you and actually ask you to discuss how the beers taste and why you voted the way you did. And then we might even come back to problems and things like that. We've also got the boys from JP's new show, Dr. Homebrew, Brian Cooper and Lee Shepard, who are very experienced BJCP judges. They have already done an official BJCP judging of the beers down in the green room so that we get some scores. Those won't actually be relevant in the Brewcaster Challenge in terms of who wins, but they'll give us an idea of how us yokels vote compared to how some actual beer judges vote on the beers. And I just thought it might be interesting to see if the consensus lines up with what the BJCP Masters show.
Yes.
So we will get their lowdown, too. We'll also, through that process, get a little idea about how the Dr. Homebrew show works, which is a fun new show that JP's doing. We'll tell you more about that later. So that's how this whole tasting situation is going to work. Does it sound kosher with everybody, so to speak?
I love it.
Seems great.
Yep.
Yep. The way that we should do things. Beers are coming in now. You can watch on the video if you want to, the tasting process, but not much to see here. Like I said, we'll do all discussion of the beer back on the air because we don't want to leave you out of that process. The first ever Brewcaster Challenge, JP, it's about to go down right
now.
You
are on my wiener.
We are about to find out. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Do you know
the three most important rules in brewing: sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel cam lock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzenstein?
Yes, J.P. Gore. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
My father, the storm is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acids.
Yes, J.P. Gore, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Glickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra-precision, the tower can hold your mash to one-half of a degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Blickmanstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub.
How you gonna make it in your home if you don't have the facility to make sure it's healthy?
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. N-I-K-O-B-R-E-W. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
BN Army, HopTech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. HopTech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And HopTech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
Hey, it's Moscow here, and these are the announcements for Monday, April 29th. The New York State Fair is teaming up with the FX Matt Brewery to offer all you homebrewers out there the opportunity of a lifetime. It all begins with the State Fair's annual homebrew competition, which is AHA-sanctioned. It's on Friday, May 31st and Saturday, June 1st. FX Matt is going to offer the winner of the competition the opportunity to have his recipe brewed in Saranac's new Pilot Brewery, which is their research and development facility. The beer that results from that will then be entered in the Pro-Am competition at GAVF. Deadline for entries is May 16. Full entry rules and instructions can be found on the State Fair website at nysfair.org. Next one here is an announcement about a really, really cool new product. If you're like me and you love the concept of a growler, but you're discouraged by the fact that beer does not keep in a growler, really, like you have to consume it that night kind of thing. Anyway, it's a cap thing that replaces the crappy stock caps that everybody uses. It does exactly what you guys do when you fill kegs, which is it allows you to inject CO2 directly into your growler and then manually open a built-in relief valve and discharge all of the air and oxygen out of the growler's headspace. Anyway, it's freaking sweet. Inventor of it, his name is Steve Mosaic. He's conducting a Kickstarter campaign, so go help him out if you can. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search Growler Saver. And finally, the Midwest's largest festival, which is the Cleveland International Beer Fest, of course, has moved to the fall. The last 2 years, it has been in May, but this year, the IX Center over there will unite the IBF with their fabulous food show to create one huge beer food extravaganza. There'll be more than 500 vendors there with fine food, craft beer, of course, fine artwork. A single ticket will provide access to everything. They will go on sale in the summer, so stay tuned at ixbeerfest.com. Yep, that wraps it for this week. As always, you can send announcements over to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com for a spot in this segment. And until the next one, this is Scott the Jew saying, L'chaim.
Mix me your 100-grain amber recipe, and I'm going to eat it. And then it can ferment in my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
It's 888-401-BEER.
This is The Session.
The tension is so thick. It's actually hardly tense.
You can fit it in a Magnum condom.
Sweating over here.
Yeah. Very exciting. The tasting and voting has happened. There has been no discussion about the beers in front of us, but both beer A and beer B have been poured and tasted by the judges. We also have our BJCP professionals from the wonderful new hit show, Dr. Homebrew, in the studio.
the hit.
Yeah, hanging out with us to give us an actual BJCP score. We'll do that once we find out the voting. Have all votes been cast?
I didn't know who to vote for because I thought they were both terrible.
Oh,
man.
No.
Just kidding.
But everybody voted, which in this case is, it should be Bevo and Nathan and Susie and Tasty and Moscow. Are the only official voters in the first ever Brewcaster Challenge. Susie's making sure right now that we have that many votes. She'll double check the math with Moscow because she's the only Asian who can't count.
There's six here and you named five people.
Who stuffed the ballot?
Chicago style.
So I'm just like,
well, we're not sure. All right, well, hand them over, and I don't know how we got six. Maybe there were, did somebody's get put in there that isn't actually here, so there's no vote on it. Maybe.
Whoever's
name
is on it.
I pulled all of them out.
I know you pre-made the ballots. What do you think, JP? You got to be here for the voting.
I'm here. There were six, and there was only five, and we're pulling out right now. I'm all over this, baby. What's up, bud? What's up, baby? Let's do this.
Woo! Do I drum roll every single letter that I open? Is that how we're doing this?
Yeah, do you want a drum roll or you want me to do it?
I got it. Just asking if that's what I need to do. Oh. So
yeah, hell yeah. This is radio, man.
This is the first one.
I can't wait to see who our sixth voter is.
that'll be a surprise.
Some bum from Martinez, yes. Apparently.
Someone
the bum outside.
You know, before we get to the voting, I did want to mention that you can go to beersmith.com right now and get your free 21-day trial of the Beersmith brewing software. I used it for my brew day. JP used it for his brew day.
Hell yeah, I did.
In fact, I've used it for all three of my recent brew days. It's a great way to keep track of your recipes. It's easy to do all the math. I love that it has a lot of different converters, both for volume or temperatures or even equipment like hydrometer and refractometers. And so I used a lot of those different calculators to make it quick and easy. I used to just Google all the things I needed to know real quick. I'd pull out my phone and do that. But now that all those different converters are right there in the Beersmith brewing software, I use that. You get a free trial for 21 days, so you don't even have to take my word for it. It's a really great piece of software, and it's fully up to date. It also comes, if you can also go over to the Beersmith recipes site, and there's just thousands and thousands of different Beersmith recipes that you can use and share with your friends. Keep track of your ingredients, scale your recipes, up or down, and more. Just go to beersmith.com right now and check it out. Our good friend Brad over there makes that software. He's a good dude. Okay. Now we're ready, huh? The first vote is from Moscow. And he votes B. B.
Okay.
We don't know.
We don't know it is yet. It's kind of anticlimactic that way.
Just tally, which is probably why I don't need to do a drum roll for each one, right?
Right, absolutely.
We'll do a drum roll to reveal who's A and B, right?
Yes.
Who in this room knows who is A and who is B?
Ooh.
Nobody.
This is going wonderfully.
The judges do.
Lee just looked at me like he doesn't know. They don't know either because they judged it blindly.
That's right. I can get...
Kate knows.
Oh, Lee has it.
You know who's A and B.
We don't know.
Thank you. But it's there. Hand me that envelope, please. Thank you, Lee. I'd be surprised if it wasn't going this way.
Even after all the thought you put into this?
We've been working on this for weeks. It's probably one of the most thought-out segments we've ever done. The second vote in my hand, I believe we found the sixth voter.
Oh.
It's from JP, and it's a penis.
Well, that's rude.
Is it fully erect?
Well, you know what this shows me.
Oh, really?
Is it?
Yeah.
If it's if it's a JP self portrait, it's fully erect.
It's jizzing. How could it not be erect?
Tiny. Right. What this shows me is there was not much security over our ballot box. Nobody saw the penis being placed in the ballot box. No. Any of these votes could have been tampered with.
That's true.
Put that in one of the rules there, Moscow.
Penis did not have a valid address.
Penis is
driver's license.
I think the pitcher needs to have a lock on it next time.
Yes. We must lock the ballot box. Got it.
Thank you. All right. The second official vote. This one comes in from Susie Cusey, and she voted A. By my count, that's a tie score.
Even Steve.
Congratulations. You're not an idiot.
Well.
The third vote has come in. It's from Nathan Smith. He has voted A. Two for A, one for B. The fourth vote has come in. It's from Bevo. It's for B. Wow. Out of five judges, we've got a good split.
No, sorry.
It all comes down to this one vote, and that vote belongs to Tasty.
Oh,
the swing vote, they call it. Or maybe
Ohio
we negotiate at this point.
Yeah, right.
More like a swinger vote.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm nervous about opening this last one. Especially because I think I know which
letter one is yours.
I'm going to know instantly, and I'm a little nervous.
You're going to be crushed. That's all right. It'll happen eventually. Might as well embrace the crushness.
I'm excited to win my first competition.
Well, when you get there, you'll be justified, I'm sure.
The final vote, I can't even look at it, from Tasty, is for B.
Oh.
That's three votes for B. And that's three votes for A.
No.
Two votes for A.
Two votes and a penis.
Congratulations, yeah. You are an idiot.
That's three votes for A and two
hundred.
Votes. All right. Three votes for B and two votes for A. I'm opening the key to victory.
Uh-oh.
The winning beer was brewed by JP.
Oh!
JP has beaten me in the first ever Brewcaster Challenge. Sadness fills the room. Would you like to have a victory speech?
I would love one, yes.
Go ahead, please.
This is just so amazing. I never thought I'd... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me adjust my face.
It's fine. Just keep going. How long do we have to do this?
Thank you. Thank you very much. People, this is so amazing. I never thought I'd be here at this moment... Looking out at all of you.
Wait, you're always here looking out at all of us.
Shut up. I'm truly blessed. I'd like to thank God, my cats, my chickens, and the raw talent that my folks gave me via their sperm and their egg. While I was inside of my mother, she could feel something.
Oh my God!
Great, growing inside of her. And thank you very much. And I'd like to say that she was 100% correct. Something that you good people confirmed here today. My greatness. Thank you.
Damn it! Tasty?
It's my fucking fault.
Gotta have somebody to blame. By one stinking vote!
So close.
Well, it only matters what the BJCP judges have said.
Oh, I can't wait to hear what they have to say. Oh, I see.
Everybody make a note of that, man.
Oh, congratulations, JP.
I just coughed in my hair.
The
Harry,
first ever Brewcaster Challenge winner. That's right. I was just doing it to be nice anyway.
Well, I sanitized.
Germs
now
are
good.
A good reason not to shake. Now it's going to be all sticky.
No,
with,
it won't be, it'll be fine.
Wait till it dries.
It's fine. It's
I
dry.
Want it to dry.
It's dry.
It's just sandages.
Let me
cool.
touch it first and no, see if it's dry.
Yeah, it's fine, right?
It's a little slimy.
It's fine.
All right. Good job, JP. Oh, it's all slimy. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. Yeah! That's not nice.
That's your consolation prize.
I'm turning JP off for the rest of the night. All right. Well, I fought a hard battle. I fought the better battle, but sometimes you lose.
Was it the better battle?
I don't know. Sometimes the good
this is
guy.
Just consolation.
Sometimes the good guy doesn't win.
Wait a minute!
by tasty stupid vote.
Well, then it would have been tied or something. I don't know.
If I hadn't voted.
I don't do math.
All right, there you go. Those are the official results of the first ever Brewcaster Challenge. Well done, JP. Well done, sir.
Well played, sir.
What happened to all that friggin' Skrilla down there?
The money you divided up amongst the people who put money in and voted for you to be the winner. So I think that's...
I think it was nobody. I was on my own.
No, Moscow was in on it, and he voted for you, and it was me and Nate for me.
Yep. Yeah.
So you guys split the, and I owe, and I owe $15. And by I mean Nate. All right, let's get the Dr. Homebrew boys in here. Give them a microphone. Moscow, if you wouldn't mind doing that. Susie, if you wouldn't mind doing that. Let them have a seat at the table. And let's get them in here to talk about how the BJCP judging went of this. Now, these boys are from the new hit show Dr. Homebrew, doing very well in the BN ratings right now. And it's sweeps week, so that's good for us. This is all for JP's benefit. And these guys are working on the Dr. Homebrew show. We brought them in because they are qualified BJCP judges, and we thought it would be fun, actually, to get a real score. Now, there is no BJCP category for Hoppy American Red. Is that correct, Brian Cooper?
Hoppy American Red? Well, we judge it as an American Amber Ale.
Okay. That's just because you needed some parameters?
We needed parameters, yeah.
Okay. So you judge it that you gave it an actual score. You did it as you would any other beer in a BJCP competition. Is that
exactly,
correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to judge it against some standard. So, you know, 10B seemed like the closest American Amber Ale. And
well, a standard of greatness, I think, would have been fine had you judged it against that.
Still would have been sort of similar outcome.
Right. All right. Well, why don't you go down the score sheets kind of in a summary fashion. Now that you know who is A and B, you can go ahead and just do it by name, and we'll figure out where we landed on the BJCP scale. Or at least on the qualified judge scale, I suppose. It's more accurate.
Yeah, well, Lee and I tasted them both blindly as well down there before you guys did the big reveal up here.
Okay.
And, you know, in beer A, which, now that was Justin's beer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it had a nice, strong, citrusy, piney, dry-hopped note in the aroma that really shined out on the top. And it was kind of a high-level, you know, towards IPA territory. The malt was, you know, sweetly caramelly, a hint of a little chocolatiness and kind of bread crust in there. You know, it's a pretty complex malt bill, but the hops were definitely the focus there. So it was a pretty nice aroma, inviting, and, you know, kind of a deep, coppery color with a low light tan head that faded pretty quickly. It was not our sample was not very carbonated, so that might have detracted from it a little bit in some of the other components as well, but had a pretty nice dank hop character, kind of piney and citrusy hitting with just enough bitterness. You know, that I mean, sometimes if you go crazy with the hops, it the bitterness can get, you know, off the charts and just kill the balance. But you know, I thought it was pretty good there. Bitterness level. You know, the malt was rich and complex, but still just under that hop. It was a big beer. The alcohol was really apparent in the well, can we ask questions about it yet? We want to know the ABV.
I don't know. I believe it started at 10.68. I remember
that would involve math.
I remember that I missed high, so it started at 10.68.
Okay.
And it finished at 10.14. So if anybody wants to punch that in real quick, you'll know the...
that's like high sixes.
Yeah. 6.8, 6.7.
And I will say, you know, being that it's an evil twin clone, it was supposed to finish at 10.14. However, it was supposed to start at 10.64. And it might have even been a little above 10.68. I remember we talked about it on the show that I was high. I just don't remember where. So it's a little higher alcohol than Jamil had planned it to be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it does have some evil twin-like characters now that you mention that. That's cool, yeah. You know, I thought it had kind of a medium full body. It was kind of a big, slightly chewy beer, but not too over the top like a barley wine or anything. You know, there was a little bit of alcohol warmth in there. You definitely feel it in the chest as it's going down. You know, and it wasn't very creamy. It was kind of, you know, that the finish was kind of dry to me and you know, IPA-like almost. And, you know, a nice dry IPA kind of finish like that. Or what I would call an imperial red, I guess, you know, like an arrogant bastard kind of a beer, which I happen to like. But if you judge it strictly as a 10B, might not be quite as that beer is described. So, but anyway, the carbonation was a little low, and that did detract from it a bit. But
yeah.
I really liked the beer. I thought it came across a little more imperial than kind of a classic American amber. But, was, you know, if you wanted to bring it more into 10B territory, kind of back off the hops a little bit, then there was a huge dry hop character that was, you know, tasted great and wonderful, but and the alcohol was a little high on there too, but for that style. But it's kind of a monster. That's how I kind of ended my comments on the sheet on that. But
okay,
I give it a 34 out of 50. So
okay,
that's pretty good.
Now
for
my,
you,
my only question, I guess, is and I'm fine with it being a 34. I guess it's hard to judge it because it's really not an American Amber Ale. And in fact, a lot of the things that you mentioned, except for maybe alcohol heat, I don't think Jamil intended for that. It's supposed to be hoppy. Yeah. It's supposed to be higher alcohol. It's supposed to be a little bitter, too. So all I wonder is, and I'm not fishing for points, I genuinely mean it, if you score it outside of that category, does it score higher because that's what it was intended to be, or... Even then, it has the same things that kind of knock it down to a 34. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I think if it was entered as a Category 23 beer, as a, if you called it an Imperial Red Ale or some, you know,
right.
Maybe someday there will be such style in the BJCP guidelines, but, you know, it would have been judged a little differently, and you might have said it's a, you know,
an American amber ale with an intense dry hop character, a little higher ABV or something in your comments, and the judge could judge it as such. But
got it.
As it is, it's a 10B. It's a very good beer. It just kind of slightly, you know, needs a little fine tuning. There weren't any big flaws in it. It was very cleanly brewed. Nice ale. You know, good ferment. Good job on keeping the yeast happy. And
beautiful.
Yeah. I'll let Lee comment on that one, too.
Yeah, let's. Now, Lee, why don't you give us your rundown?
Dr. Lee.
Bit of a boozer. That was very strong beer.
Yeah.
That came across. I'm not like barley wine strength, but the alcohol shone right through on that. I liked it. I thought it was very, very caramelly, a bit sweet. It was sort of a big balance between a lot of caramel sweetness and a lot of hop flavor, kerosene-y, diesel-y, fairly strong hop finish, almost a bit rough in the palate and the finish.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, very much like a lot of sort of the red ales you get around here. Or maybe up north, I'm not less familiar with most of those. This is pretty much where you put a red ale category-wise. So, I mean, they actually say that in the guidelines.
Okay.
Noticing. So, you know, I maybe give a little more latitude for hoppiness if you call it a red ale in the amber ale range. It's kind of a, you know, there's some flexibility in the styles there.
Okay.
It was clean. It was well fermented. It was pretty well made. It was sort of a balance between sweet and bitter and hoppy.
Got it.
It wasn't like a subtle sort of thing necessarily. It was sort of duking it out from both sides. It was a good beer, though. I liked it. I give that one a 31, actually.
31.
And you know what? And you know what, Justin? I got to tell you, if
get out,
it was a little flat.
Yeah.
A little undercarbonated.
Yeah.
If you'd been beefed up a bit in the carbonation, probably would have got a few points higher.
Like a 33.
33, 34, 35. So, you know what?
30's a respectable score. 30 yeah. something. Hey.
F you, Brian. You don't have to sugarcoat my 30.
Isn't that an easy fix, though, the undercarb? I mean, what did you do totally wrong there?
Well, so you all picked up. I came in here knowing that I picked up on that it had three flaws. Lee picked up on all three of them. I was surprised to find from Brian that that sweetness wasn't mentioned on your part, but just bitterness. And I felt that it was too sweet, and I felt that maybe came from the higher alcohol, and also that it started above where it was supposed to be, 1068 or 1069 instead of 1064. I also, you guys mentioned, in fact, Brian, you mentioned it did have a nice hop nose and hop character. I thought the hop nose that I was only comparing it to Evil Twin because that's the recipe I got. I found the hop nose to be lacking. I thought it should have been a bit more bright and hoppy like that beautiful Heretic Evil Twin. Bitterness, however, is there in plentiful. So I thought sweet, lacking hop nose, but absolutely carbonation. And I did the slow carbonation over several days. I tasted it yesterday and also found it to be undercarbonated. So I cranked it way up last night to, you know, like really cranked it up thinking I'm going to do this last thing. And it's a typical Crosley mistake. I have so many valves now. I've got, because I'm splitting the CO2 to two tanks. My CO2 tank has a valve that turns it on and off. Well, not just the main one, and not just the adjuster, but then a little lever that takes it out of the regulator. Then it goes to a splitter with two. Each one I can turn either one on. I turned everything on except for the valve that comes off of the fucking regulator.
So the even my ass clown.
Yeah, so even my overnight, like, let's just turn it up to 30 and give it a couple extra. I'm hoping that it'll take some, because I did it early last night and I knew I wasn't going to put it, you know, do something with it until late this afternoon. And I go in there and I'm so pissed off at that stupid lever. Then, of course, so knowing already that it was undercarbonated, then, of course, I'm just filling it from a picnic tap that I put a tube on so that it would go to the bottom of the of my growler and filled it as slow as I possibly could, and then capped my growler and then rode my bike to work.
Nice.
So that it shook in my messenger bag for 20 minutes while I got to work.
That might explain the slight haze we're seeing. Yeah.
Then it got opened and poured three times, and so I not only was it undercarbonated, but everything in that sense I screwed up. Yeah.
Hey, as far as the aroma, didn't it seem really aromatic as compared to JP's? Like, not aromatic compared to the Evil Twin, but next to JP's beer, I got almost no nose from that, and yours was really aromatic.
Well, yes, and also, I'll be honest with you, aside from the carbonation, which I saw also as soon as it was poured for me, I honestly like the flavor of my beer better, but that's but I love Evil Twin. And I do think I didn't do a terrible job of getting close to an Evil Twin. And that I really... So I do like my beer, but I knew about those flaws that you guys are picking up on. And even the... now, you guys are calling it boozy and high alcohol, and you're absolutely right. I pick up on that flavor much less. And in fact, I end up liking the beer more.
Well, it's all the booze.
I've had half a beer, and I wow, what a nice day it is outside.
it's raining,
but I don't. But my palate doesn't really pick up on the what that flavor does also to a beer to decrease its value. And so I didn't pick up on that like you guys did. Anyhow, I think that's excellent judging on your part. I think you guys, in my opinion, did a nice job on it. Your scores suck, but what are you gonna do? you can hear more of Brian and Lee on the new Dr. Homebrew, which now that you guys have aired a couple of episodes, and it looks like we're going to put them available for download beginning in May. And they're now sponsored by our wonderful new sponsor, Five Star Chemicals, and good people over there. We've loved them since the beginning of the show and have been talking about their products the whole time.
Yeah.
And they've come on board to sponsor this new show. And the show is really designed for homebrewers to send in their beer. And much like we've just done, rather than just a blind tasting, you guys have all the information about the beer, right? So that you can taste it and kind of evaluate what's going on with it from an educated perspective rather than a blind judge perspective. Do I have that right?
That's what the show's about, yeah. Helping people tweak their recipes and, you know, figure out what they did right, what they could do better, and just, yeah, having fun making good beer.
I think, JP, you have a good team here to help you guys do that.
I agree. Absolutely. You know, not only the guys are knowledgeable, but they're personable on the air, and we have fun. It's not a super serious show, but it's not like the super dick show, like dick jokes show. We get down to business. We want to help people. We want to the way I describe it is an interactive BJCP score sheet. So we also, in addition to tasting the beers, we have the home brewer on the air with us. So we interview you. So if you sent in your beer, either if you're local, you can come in the studio. We'll Skype you, do whatever, and just go, hey, what was your, you know, basically just like the guys did. What did you do? How you know, what kind of equipment do you work with? I taste this kind of thing. Tell me about your starter, because it might be a yeast issue. We kind of dial that in, and then you have an opportunity to ask questions of us,
which is a great feature because you know, Jamel and other people have come on the show and talked about how in score sheets at a regular competition, when they start writing like maybe don't do this and maybe don't, they're talking about parts of the process that they don't know anything about. Yeah. So this alleviates that problem and allows you guys to ask about the process.
It's better
and
feedback.
Then give real feedback.
Yeah, it's better feedback, I think, than just a straight, you know, competition scoring. Not that you don't get great feedback entering in competition.
Sure.
But this way you can actually go, what does that mean? What does malty mean? How do I actually get my beer more malty?
Right.
Or, you know, whatever the case is. So.
All right. Well, that's going to be available for download starting in May right here on the Brewing Network. And I would say that aside from the fact that these two can't tell a 45-point beer when it's staring them in the face, got a recipe for success here.
We haven't actually got to my beer yet.
Oh, I see. No. Yeah.
Yeah, we still need to talk about JP's.
All right, let's talk about JP's beer.
Beer B.
Beer B.
For best, by the way.
Yeah, this one... an American Amber Ale as an American Amber. I, you know, this was kind of the other end of the spectrum a little bit. I think this was a more malt balanced beer, and you know, it had kind of a in the aroma, kind of a medium earthy floral hop aroma. Pretty balanced with the maltiness was in there as well, and the esters were kind of interesting. There was some dark fruit and a little light fruit in there, some kind of cherry, apple, apricot notes. You know, no major flaws, no DMS, no diacetyl. I thought the hop character might have been just a little muddled, but it wasn't unpleasant. The malt had some kind of bready, toasty characters that I liked, but it, you know, complexity that gives it a good malt profile. It was fairly clear, medium copper. The head was started kind of medium and snuck around. It's still persisting in my glass here as we're judging both of these beers, and the malt notes in the flavor were a nice kind of biscuity note up front with some bready, toasty, a little caramelly. I didn't get a whole lot of caramel, but it was so complex. There was a lot of things going on in the malt profile there, and that was one of the things I kind of bumped it down a little bit for. But it seemed very cleanly fermented, no off flavors I could find in the flavor either. The balance was definitely the malt. Hop bitterness was kind of medium low, and they're just supporting it.
just working with the malt and balancing it out. So, yeah, pleasant flavor, kind of medium-bodied, middle of the road for a lot of the style guidelines on there as far as having a slight creaminess that you want in that kind of a beer, you know, no astringency, no real big warmth or, you know, and the carbonation was, you know, pretty medium. Mouthfeel-wise, it was, you know, pretty much right to style, I thought, almost. But it was a pleasant malty beer. In the end, I you know, it was, some of the malt flavors seemed a little more in line with some classic European styles to me than American. You know, the balance was right with the beer. The hops were a little bit muddled, but not unpleasant. It just kind of missed some of the American qualities that I like in a beer. And I tend to prefer more of a little bit of the leaning towards the evil twin, maybe not as far as Justin, you went with it, but yeah. It was, you know, I liked this beer as well, but I did rate it a little bit lower. I gave it a 32.
What was mine?
Okay. 34.
I gave yours a 34.
Yeah. Yeah. See, he sucks at giving.
He's terrible. Yeah.
We're just harsh critics.
I know, yeah. as you should be, yeah. Lee?
You're paid to judge.
Yeah, so I liked this beer. It was pretty good. It was definitely...
He sucks, too.
I do.
I think he's great so far.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I haven't even started. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just wait. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, this was a much more restrained kind of beer than the one you made. It was not nearly as sweet. It wasn't as big and pungent with the hops. It did have both nice sort of caramel malt flavors, although, as Brian noted, a little bit almost more towards a toasty European style, like a Munich malt sort of flavor. The bittering and the malts were maybe a little more in balance, and both kind of just ratcheted down a step. I mean, it wasn't this big in-your-face, you know, red ale, West Coast red ale like the one you made.
Yeah.
It was clean. It was nice. It didn't have any noticeable alcohol, which actually I don't think was a flaw in yours. It was just noticeable.
Oh, okay.
But it was a little unexpected, but you get that sometimes.
I'm only glad that you pointed that out because, and I'm by no means, listeners, should you necessarily compare mine to Evil Twin, but I consider his a little bit higher alcohol on purpose. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point out that it, anyway, yeah. I'm glad it didn't come across as a flaw, is my point.
Neither one of us said it hot alcoholic flavor. Okay. We just it had a little bit of warmth in the mouthfeel, and it was alcohol was noticeable.
Got it. Okay.
Now, off the chart. To about half the people I know saying it's a bit of a boozer is a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. It had a nice head on it. It was very nice, tight bubbles, fine bubbles. It lasted very well. It really hung around a long time, which was very nice.
It did.
It's sort of a nice medium light body, good balance. The hop flavor was a little broader in some ways. There were some woody, earthy flavors along with some of the more West Coast flavors, I thought, which was kind of nice. And it was just very nice. It was a little easier, a little more simple to drink, but, you know, it wasn't that big sort of sweet and rough hop bomb in your face.
Yeah.
I gave it a 35.
35?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which means if you do the numbers, your beer, which was flat and undercarbonated, lost by 1 point.
1 point and one perfect. Vote.
So one yep. point, one vote.
Yeah.
You got to get a handle on your valves, Justin.
Yeah.
Rock the vote, dude.
Well, and we'll find out more about this when we come back, because we'll ask each of the judges who cast their ballots as well what they found their flaws were. But believe me, when I saw that valve not turned on, and I was leaving the house, so I waited till the last minute to put it in the into the warhead. And, yeah. And I just went, you know, Justin, this is why you're a stupid motherfucker every time it comes to homebrew, because it's the simple things that I will obsess about all the other and this and that, and then I leave a valve shut.
You could have opened it to an empty hose on the other side and emptied the tank. That would have been even better.
Well, yeah. It just would have been a repeat of what I've done before. Right. You know that too, Nathan.
Someone accidentally pushed the beer into another keg. Whoops.
And it was one
on the floor.
On the floor, yeah.
And I'll tell you this too. I was a little stressed out at that moment, but here's what I ended up thinking. What a great learning experience I'm having through this whole Brewcaster Challenge thing. And I need to not stress out about this, because it's just another dummy mistake that I made, and there was nothing I could do about it at that moment.
Well, and, do you
so
think,
I did chill out.
Yeah, well, and it's not the first time a home brewer or a commercial brewer or a bartender has ever done that. It's not the first time.
Well, although on the other, so there was that. So I did and I went, you know what, just go to this competition and have fun with it, and hopefully it's not as flat as you think it's going to be when they pour it after your fucking bike ride to work. But the other thing I thought was, dude, it's just why don't you look at all the things? Like, there's
the stuff.
There was just a couple things to look at. This was the one more thing to look at. And my carbonation was it really was close if you pour it out of the, but it was still low. And I just went, 30 pounds for the next 14 hours, you're gonna be good to go. Even if it kind of went over, I'm gonna lose some by I had Tasty's voice in my head. You're gonna lose some when you bottle it, and the whole. And then I saw that valve shut, and I went, "Ah, damn it!" I almost thought, "I hope I lose on something else."
Because then the carbonation,
But no,
no, not at all.
We'll find out from the rest of the judges, because maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'll still go home and sleep well tonight.
Well, maybe. I purposely went for a lighter beer because that's what I like to drink. So this was a 10.56 beer. I didn't want the giant malty bomb because that's not my style. It's not what I like.
Sure,
I like things on the lower end of the style. So I did that, and I took kind of a cue from my close personal friend John Meyer from Rogue Ales in Newport, Oregon. Just back up your hops with a lot of crystal malt. So mine finished at 10.14 also.
Yeah.
But it had that giant crystal malt charge, and I don't think it's too cloying. I used enough crystal malt, the different Lava Bonds, to give different flavors, and I think that carried the hoppiness all the way through. And I thought it was actually, it's probably one of the more bitter beers I've ever brewed.
Mm.
But I really like it. It is very low, and you know, it could use a little bit more base malt, maybe, if I was going to do that style again, but I wanted an easy drinking, hoppy beer.
Well, typically, I'm with you and your beer.
Yeah.
The exception for me is Evil Twin.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing kind of came up because I wanted to brew an Evil Twin clone, and then we kept talking about it, and we thought, well, why don't we do this whole thing? And the Brewcaster Challenge came about. And but on a normal basis, if I'm at a bar, yours is the style of red beer, hoppy red beer that I would want to order. Well, unless I saw Evil Twin on the board, and then I love that thing. I don't know why. There's something about it.
I tell you, you know, looking at the carbonation like you did, I figured out whose was whose, because I've been drinking. Maybe have gone through a whole keg of this.
Oh, have you?
Stupid red ale.
You've already drank it.
But I tasted yours, and I was like, oh, shit. It's good.
I do think it's a good beer.
It is a good beer. Carbonated,
it's sweet and
probably
flat.
Would be great. Yeah.
That's its problem.
It's a microcosm of everything about the BN, which is all of the hard parts are taken, and all the parts are in place. But then something about the final product, the simplest, and it's all screwed up.
Yeah, yeah. Because listen, we're big picture people here.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
I like the beer. It's a good beer. It's sweet and flat. And yours is it's right in its zone. It's a good beer.
You know what's even better than beer A or beer B?
Ah,
beer C.
Did you do anybody?
anybody still have? Lee and I both did this.
I
after
have
we
barely
judged
any
them.
Left of B.
Well, like, the one had. I think we might have more downstairs, but we blended both of them, and Lee and I both agreed that what one lacked, the other made up for,
really?
And vice versa, and they really worked well together.
That
kind of works.
That's the story of JP and I's life.
Yeah. I took this one drink getting out of each, so does anybody want to do a blend?
I have another growler of mine.
Did you
guys want some?
But. Did you really hate them both, Bebo?
No, I didn't. I don't like to drink anything at all when I have to drive.
Oh, okay. I thought, because
so
you had said,
nice
you joked
taste.
That they sucked in the beginning, and now you're telling me you have a full glass, so I'm just
I just don't like to drink and drive.
Okay. Well, on that note, here's what we'll do.
Boring.
We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out how the judges who actually gave the winning votes felt about the beers, and maybe we'll pour ourselves a blend at the break, too, and we'll come back and taste that. It's the session, the end of the first Brewcaster Challenge when we come back. Hang in there.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network. Where do you go for all the stuff you need to brew? Homebrewstuff.com, of course. In their Boise, Idaho storefront and warehouse, they have more than 750 craft beers and 8,000 square feet of homebrew products in stock. The staff at Homebrew Stuff are homebrewers themselves. They try out just about everything, including the beer, so they can answer your questions knowledgeably and correctly about brewing, kegging, and anything else you might need to ask. Don't live near the Homebrew Stuff store? Visit homebrewstuff.com online and take advantage of their $7.95 domestic shipping available on most orders. Homebrewstuff.com is a proud sponsor of the AHA, NHC, GABF, and countless other acronyms. So if you're a homebrewer looking for great people, a great selection, and great deals, head to homebrewstuff.com online or in person. Visit their YouTube channel for loads of free how-to and product videos. All of the stuff you need to brew. Homebrewstuff.com.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Did you know the Brewing Network's very own Code Right and Fool's son, Ryan Wolf, has opened a beer mecca in Missouri? The Wolf Brow House of Beer has hundreds of beers from all over the world and is conveniently close to I-70 in St. Peter's. Free tastings Saturdays 4 to 6 p.m. featuring special guests from local breweries. The best build-your-own six-pack around with every style represented. And kegged craft beer available for your kegerator, too. There's always something new at the Wolf Brow House of Beer. New and hard to find beer every week. No two visits are the same. Just like passing out at the Rat Pad.
Hi, this is Ryan from Wolf Brow House of Beer. Mention the Brewing Network when you stop in for some cool free stuff. Mention JP for a swift kick in the ass.
The Wolf Brow House of Beer. Beer with personal service from a member of the BN Army.
This is Code. Visit my son's shop or I'll yank the f*** BN website down.
www.wolfbrow.com.
Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I say!
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can show you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbock entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
Capital, capital.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of superior customer service and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
Here's a bite for beer lovers. Soft caramel made with real craft brew and coated in chocolate. And hop drops, hard candies made with real hop oil. Introducing Beer Candy from BeerCandy.com. Beer Candy's amazing caramels come in four mouth-watering flavors. IPA, bitter gold, wrapped in smooth white chocolate. Lager, made with a familiar beer from Boston and coated in milk chocolate. Lambic, soury Belgian goodness, full of fresh raspberry and dipped in dark chocolate. And Stout, roasty cocoa chocolate insanity. Hop drops are made with Fuggles or Cascade hops and are known as the candy that bites you back. Choose from sampler and full sizes of both and make your mouth jump to life. All at BeerCandy.com. Hop drops and beer caramels satisfy your sweet tooth as only a beer lover could with Beer Candy. Visit BeerCandy.com today.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit Austin Homebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
Wait till you can pour it out of your own kegerator.
Yeah.
I mean, your friends will look at you with awe.
And it's just hot.
It is?
It's so super hot.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to
The Session.
Fix that door.
You better get out of my general store.
You sold me one, you can sell me one more.
Well, I ain't gonna sell you no beer no more.
D-E-Y. Too drunk to think about it, might as well try. 100 pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
But I told you once, I told you twice. Drinking and driving is a madman vice.
Left, left, right. And a right, right, left.
You can go up a while, but don't be late.
Well, we're going driving on the interstate.
You can take my price, just close the gate.
D-E-Y. Too drunk to think about it, might as well try. There's a million pretty ladies and they're giving me the eye.
Boys be boys, men be men. Know what you get, you don't do it again.
Gonna do it again. Gonna do it again. What do you know?
You're on the interstate and you're going slow.
I missed my turn. Which way do I go?
Step out of the car. You're going to jail.
No. D-E-Y. Too drunk to think about it. Might as well try.
Cocaine Chardonnay, 4th of July. Walk the line. Heel to toe. Tilt your head back and touch your nose.
What?
Walk the line. Heel to toe.
Don't do
tilt
this.
Your head back and touch your nose.
What?
Walk the line. Heel to toe. Tilt your head back and touch your nose. Reciting backwards the alphabet.
Up yours, pig. You do that shit. Walk in line, heel to toe, tilt my head back and I touch my nose. Walk in line, heel to toe, better get far and go, dude, go.
Listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck. Wow, the blend is pretty damn good. Did you taste it?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. Well, the results are in for the first Brewcaster Challenge, and JP has won the first round.
That is really good.
And once again, Congratulations, good sir. I now move into the loser's bracket. JP into the winner's bracket. He'll have to play the winner of one of our next Brewcaster challenges. We will announce the next pairing on our next show. Now, we're off next week for the SoCal Homebrew Festival, but the Monday show after that, we will announce the next Brewcaster challenge, the beer they were brewing, and start the whole process once again.
You know who our guest is on that show where this announcement is taking place?
No.
His name is Damian McCon. He's the brewer at Summit Brewing Company. His nickname? Damo.
Damo! I was wondering when I saw that on the list, I was like, why would he book Damo? Is he...
What do you mean, why? Why wouldn't I?
But I didn't realize it was a different Damo. But, all right, let's do this. It's getting late in the program. We've been on here for a long time. So let's go through the other judges and find out what they thought about the beers, any flaws, any difference, and why they voted the way they did. Why don't we go ahead and start with Bevo, since I know it'll be a short conversation.
Because it'll be a very short answer.
Yeah.
Well, just because I voted the way I did, probably based upon my own preference of beer.
Yeah. And Bevo voted for JP, by the way.
I did.
Yep.
Probably because his had more malty characteristics, and I had heard that the style was supposed to be malty and hoppy, and I thought that it was a pretty good balance. It was probably a little more malty than hoppy.
Yeah.
Definitely a little more malty than hoppy, but I like that.
Okay.
So I voted that way. Yours was just way too hoppy for me. Not that it was bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't enjoy it.
The only thing that I'm going to find... I'm curious to hear more of these things because... Since my baseline was Evil Twin.
Isn't that a hoppy beer?
I could never go, like, the whole time I'm tasting it, I'm going, not hoppy enough. Not, it didn't do enough, because he does such a good job of bringing out those hops. But one thing I did think was that they weren't bright and nice tasting and dry hop tasting like Evil Twin is. But anyhow, all right, there's your Bevo vote. Very nice. And that went to JP.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. How did your... Let me ask you a question. Not that you can probably tell because yours is real flat, but how did yours change when you added carbonation? Because mine was super malty, and then it carbonated, and it wasn't as malty. Did you find the same? Like, I mean...
Well, I based on the fact that mine was undercarbonated, it did not change a whole lot. It got closer and closer, in my opinion, to what I was going for, which was the Evil Twin.
I was very concerned when I tried it out of the fermenter. When I was kegging it, I'm like, oh, shit, this is way too sweet. Too much crystal malt. I thought I blew the thing all to hell.
I thought mine was way too sweet as well. I wasn't... I thought carbonation would help. That carbonic acid, they say, will help to cut that. But I still felt the whole time. And basically, mine was too sweet if you look at what the recipe called for. I was supposed to be down at 1064 to start, so...
What was your finish supposed to be?
1014, right where it was.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, but I guess, I see what you're getting at. It did eat up the sugars, but maybe the alcohol content added a little more sweetness and things like that. All right, let's go. How about Moscow? Now, Moscow also voted JP on that one.
I did. I actually thought it was reversed. I thought your beer was JP's because, that when I had his beer 2 weeks ago, it was kind of sweeter and flat.
You're just covering your cheating tracks right now.
Look, if I was cheating, I would have never said anything in the first place. Right. You know it. I made notes that corresponded quite nicely to the judges, which is I wrote that... I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
Because I wrote A was...
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
I wrote A was too sweet, undercarbonated.
I wrote the two after they were talking.
Undercarbonated,
yeah.
Go on.
But I did write that it had a better all-around aroma. And then JP's, I wrote better balanced, not a lot of nose. I didn't understand that really, how there could be, because they were talking about the nose, they got the judges on JP's. I got almost no aroma from that. What was there something wrong with my...
No aroma from JP's?
Yeah.
I didn't get a lot either. I think, and I'm just speaking for everybody, mine lost on extremes. Now, JP's was a good beer, and that's what makes a better brewer in many cases. In fact, even the carbonation fail. Let's be honest. You know, the one thing that makes me not disappointed about JP winning, if that ends up being like the defining factor, like, hey, had you just carbonated it right? Well, that doesn't mean... What that means is that JP, in this case, was the better brewer. He paid attention to all those details, got it carbonated where it was supposed to be so that it cut through the flavors it's supposed to... All of those things... is actually the reason his is a better beer. And even in your description, his beer fit into what you thought it should be.
Yeah, and I mean, to put it simply, like I would drink a pint of JP's, but I don't think I would drink a whole pint of yours as it is.
Yeah.
If it was carbonated, who knows? I'm not stating anything revelatory, but carbonation changes everything.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's move on to Tasty, who, you know, I really have my, I had high hopes for you, Tasty.
I had high hopes for you, too. I mean, if I let you down anyway.
That must hurt.
You made the beer, you know.
I mean, Tasty,
don't get on, you know.
I'm so sorry this is going to be your last show.
I mean, it's a retirement party now.
Well, I look forward to the severance.
Yeah.
And the time off.
No, you know, everyone trusts Tasty's palate, too. And
well, no,
tell us about the
good
beers.
Well, you know, it's an A or B choice here. I was, you know, like, I kind of agree with the judges. One was a, you know, maybe a 34-point beer, and the other was, a, you know, 32 or something.
Okay,
like
so now.
So it's not like I'm, you know, one was, like, drastically, you know, way ahead of the other. I mean, this is like, you only got two choices here. I was annoyed with your beer, probably, you know, yeah, like everybody else. The lack of carbonation certainly had some effect on your beer.
Wouldn't you just copy my notes?
And then yeah. We listened to the same guy told us what it was.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
And then, you know, so I'm like, I you know, get that low carbonation. I see JP's beer. It's got nice head, you know, nice carbonation, you know, foam stand there. And it's,
yeah.
Looks like it's going to be there a while kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm seeing all that. Yours had great aroma, like Scott said, at your much less than JP's, but and then yours. Once I dialed into that forward alcohol flavor.
Okay,
like saying, well, you know, the beer should hide the alcohol.
Okay,
and that's kind of when I said, well, it's going to have to go with B.
That was the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Is that, in your opinion, a result of my higher starting gravity than I was supposed to have?
No, that's not that big a difference. I don't know. What can I attribute that? Carbonation wouldn't hide that.
I wonder if my starting gravity was even higher than that. Because all other factors seem to be under control. My pitch was, I think, I done right. And maybe the yeast, though. I did use Edinburgh instead of the Cal. I'm just looking for discussions about what causes those flavors, you know.
It's only been on the fermenter a short amount of time. Sometimes the longer it hangs, the less impression that you get of stronger alcohol.
Well, it's too bad I really like the beer because it'll be gone in 5 days.
Well, you're bringing it to SoCal, yeah?
Well, I'm bringing half of it.
Well, there you go.
The other half will get drank before I ever get to SoCal. Because I actually like the beer despite the flaws that you guys are mentioning. I recognize them as well. But JP said to me at the break, he said it's the best beer I've ever brewed. I say it's
a good beer.
It's probably the best beer I've ever brewed. And that makes me want to go home and drink it.
Well, I've only had two other beers of yours. I had the pale ale, and then I had some porter thing years and years ago.
Oh, I see.
So I've only really, this is only the third beer.
It's up there. It's either the best or the second best I've ever, So.
But that's good.
Anything else?
No, that's all I can say about it. In the B beer, JP's beer, I thought it had too much chocolate character for an amber in terms of like being in style.
Okay. All right. You know, one thing I think we need to clarify next time is maybe really make sure we pick BJCP styles.
Yes, I
because
agree.
I think it's hard for certainly Lee and Brian when they're putting it in an amber category or a category that doesn't exist for that matter and judging it accordingly is making it difficult. And
absolutely.
And I don't want to, even if it's just in the back of somebody's brain, one judge's brain, well, it's good, but it's not an amber. Well, it wasn't supposed to be, right? So we probably should make it another rule that we should stick to the BJCP guidelines to make it a little easier to judge for future rounds.
I agree. I mean, you know, like they said, you have to put it somewhere to give it some sort of parameters. It fits best in there, but it's not an amber ale. So if you're judging it to an amber ale, it's going to be off the charts.
Well, because in the future, like the next two competitors, they're going to get assigned a style by us.
Right.
Whereas here's how it went for JP. Hey, JP. I'm brewing an evil twin clone. You need to brew a beer to compete against it.
That's exactly
the first brewcaster challenge. And he's like, what if we do that? No, I'm brewing an evil twin clone, and you need to create a beer to compete against it. And so in that sense, you know, I think it makes it difficult to judge.
Yeah,
so we might add that to the rules, Moscow, that we should only pick BJCP styles.
so that they could be at least have some parameters for people.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. So that covered Tasty. And, you know, hey, you've done great on this show over the last several years.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
He's thrilled.
I'll come back and visit now.
I know. Yeah. I should bite my tongue. He's probably the most relieved he's felt since the day he came on the show.
Like, great.
I'm going to put that time to good use.
Tasty, I will never let you go. You're stuck here. All right. Susie Cousy, get your ass up here to the microphone. And now, Susie, yeah, God bless her Asian soul. Voted for my beer.
Someone has to bless her soul. Might as well be good.
Talk us through the voting process.
Initially, I saw that yours did not have any carbonation, and his head was a little bit better.
Yeah, JP gives good head.
Yeah, I do.
But I really liked the aroma of yours. That's okay. What stood out the most to me. It was a little alcohol forward, but I kind of like that.
Right, Susie's like me, a drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
And I just went with that one. Both were really good, solid beers. I think B was a little thin in the body. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. That's just me. But yeah, that's the way I voted.
Okay.
I agree.
Now, yeah, based on that, now I've talked about what I knew were the couple of flaws of mine. And JP, you talked about how you thought yours was too sweet a couple of weeks ago. What flaws did you pick out in yours, the judges?
I did get a little kind of watery thing mid-palate, I guess. It didn't have a lot of body. It had a malt, and it had a sweetness, but it lacked a transition, I think, between the initial taste and then the body. I don't know. I'm not a good judge. I don't know how to explain it. But there was a kind of a thing of wateriness. Lee, right? Is that...
Yeah, we did get it was a little bit watery.
Okay.
Palate. Yeah. Yeah. Not too bad, but you noticed it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
The balance still managed to work out pretty well.
I think so too, and yeah. I think it's just that giant charge of crystal that saved my ass. It was kind of just I think this will work. I don't know.
You know, when you read your recipe before the tasting, knowing that one of the flaws I picked up that mine was too sweet, in my head I'm going, "Fuck yeah." I'm going, yes, because his is going to be sweet too, but it wasn't.
But you had like, what, 10 more pounds of base malt than I did, I think, right? You had 24 pounds or something like that. I think I had 14 and a half.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Let me look at it here. Yeah, I had 24 and a half. But then when it comes to crystal, I just had 3.3 pounds of one crystal, C75. Now, it's a big crystal. But when you started listing, I wasn't really paying attention to the numbers because I can't do math anyway. But you list off like three crystals, and I'm going, yes, this is my chance. But
yeah, you read that off. I thought that was the sweet one that you made was his beer.
Yeah, oh, really?
Just listening to that. Yeah.
But it didn't come
all that crystal.
But it didn't come across that way.
I was kind of surprised.
And it had, and in some ways that's good. But yeah, in the way that you do have that watery middle. I don't know what happened there.
I think it's just the lower base malt. I mean, maybe if I bump the and that's the problem that I have in my beers is I want to brew lower end up to the style, lower alcohol, but all of my beers kind of end up a little thin like that. And I don't know if I mashed at a higher temp or not.
That's what I wanted to ask. What about mash temp?
You know, I generally hit it, but this was 154. I probably could have gone 156. Would 2 degrees matter in my mash? I don't know. I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't really brew reds a lot, so I kind of just it's not something that I'm going to brew again and kind of really try to dial in because I don't care.
Does anybody else think the difference between 154 and 156 would have changed his beer dramatically?
It can.
Yeah?
I think it can.
Okay. That much?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I think 2 degrees swing when you start getting up into the high 150s can matter a lot.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Maybe that's the
because you're starting to kill off the beta amylase even faster, and you're going to get a much bigger mouthfeel potentially. You're just denaturing them at a faster rate. So
if 2 degrees is perceptible, is a 1 degree difference also perceptible? Like,
I mean, if you brew the same beer 10 times a week, maybe. But not.
This just seems really tiny to have a big impact, but I mean
it is tiny. But yeah, go
at 156, so like take a beer that would normally finish at 114 and make it 16, finish at 10:16.
Right.
So I mean that's to me a fair amount.
I think so.
Body.
I do think so. I think on the Justin scale, it's all nothing. But when you're really trying to dial in a beer, it does make it 2 points in your gravity is a big difference.
Right.
Yeah. So
and the way the beer tastes, not just the how it measures on the hydrometer. It's just what the body and the mouthfeel of the beer is.
Dude. Right, right.
That's even bigger than what the hydrometer says.
Right.
And does it make even more a difference that there was so much crystal malt? Or
I think
or
so.
Does that, it does.
I thought...
In terms of temperature, of mash temp, I mean.
Not necessarily. Okay. You're working on the base.
You may help build a perception of something because you already have all those dextrins in there, but no, not in terms of like on paper by the numbers.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
But that was really it, just the body. Everything else, I think, was fine. I think, you know, have a couple pints, and maybe there's some kind of slickness, weird, maybe butterscotch thing happening, but it could be my palate, and I've been all, you know, I think my palate is kind of screwed because I've been on the nasal medicine or whatever, so I think I have
allergy meds and shit.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I have like a coating up. It feels like I've burnt my tongue.
Yeah,
the
cocaine's
week and a half.
Been affecting me as well.
Yeah. You seem very much more balanced. But so I don't know if that's what it is or not. So I was actually pretty pleased with how the ferment came out and kind of, you know, the process from then on. So
okay.
It was basically just that kind of wateriness, yeah.
All right, and that brings us to Nate, who, like a gentleman and a scholar, also voted for my beer. And, let's find out why.
I figured, you know, Fuck Style is a beauty contest, and, you know, the beer A had, that's like hop horror red ale. It's like a cocktail beer, man. It was nice and boozy and real big hop aroma.
Yeah.
It's just right up my alley. But not only that, but the ferment is very clean. So if you have a great hop aroma and the ferment is extremely clean, I'm always kind of leaning that direction in general, especially for this kind of range of beers. And it had a real interesting new school hop aroma. The Citra came across almost as like Mosaic or Nelson, like this 4MMP. And if you guys remember Stan, when he was on the show, he talked about 4MMP as this sort of like a black currant or a real interesting fruity type of character you can get from hops. I thought it showcased that really, really nicely. And it was hoppier, cleaner. At first, I wrote it could be more bitter, but then I scratched that out and said maybe a slightly harder water would help bring that across.
Okay.
Maybe even and better. I didn't really notice the carbonation thing as much, but I did
some gypsum water treatment.
Did? Okay.
I could get back to you about how much, but it was a significant amount. And I ran it by Jamel to see if it was close to what they would do too. And Kennedy gave it to his brewer at Heretic, gave it to me.
Yeah.
And then I ran it by Jamel too. And
you must have got these hops straight from them.
Hops, yes. I got everything straight from them. But, You know, I've never focused on the water before. And I asked them specifically about the water. And they gave me a good amount of gypsum to throw in there. But still not hard enough.
Yeah, JP's beer is really nice, too. But it seemed to have more of an ester, like slightly yeast-forward thing. I thought that was a little bit more than it needed to be for a beer in this type of range. And the malt bill seemed a bit muddy. It seemed like there was a little too much going on and made the beer... It kind of distracted it a little bit, but it did have a nice balance between some citrus hop character and some malt character, but just a bit muddy. And I didn't get it as the beer, as I kept it in my glass, but right off the bat, it seemed to have like a clove type of phenol, which I thought was kind of odd.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm,
that,
I see that.
It seemed, and when you mentioned like you'd sit with the beer and drink pints of this and you're like, what was there something about the ferment I wasn't 100% happy with here? I could see why that might cross your mind. There's something that the yeast kicked out that it's... Right on the flavor threshold, it's like if you're going to perceive it at 100 parts per million, it's like at 95
there's
or something, right?
Yeah, there was something, but I don't know if it's just my coating on my weird creepy mouth or not.
I'd like this with you even like go in a further direction and get like this same recipe on a Fuller's yeast. It would be really nice, I think. But and then you'd get something that'd be closer, maybe like a Boont Amber or something like that, and even lower the IBUs a little bit. But still a nice beer. But I preferred the Hop Bomb, big surprise.
Yeah.
right. Well, good judging, good voting. I think everybody gave some pretty valuable input.
Yeah.
We're going to bring both beers down to SoCal. Interestingly, I can up the carbonation between now.
I think now you need to leave it the same.
And the SoCal event. Well, the vote doesn't count, and I would like to, if you don't mind, I will allow you to give me, you can give me permission or not. I would like to up the carbonation, allow people to taste a good beer.
When do you leave?
Thursday.
Can I tell you Friday morning?
Yeah.
You have my blessing.
It is another voting thing. Maybe I can split it off to one, like a 2.5 that's just as it is now, and a 2.5.
Carbonate your beer, man.
I want someone to taste a good beer.
Yeah.
That's all. And we'll let everybody taste them that way. And I learned a lot from this little competition. And I congratulate you once again, JP. Job well done.
Thank you, sir. You move into
the winner's circle.
By 1 point.
You'll have to take on another winner.
Good.
In the next round, and I think we also learned some rules to make the competition go a little smoother.
Yeah,
and some things like that. So,
what did you learn exactly, Justin? Did you learn that everything that you previously thought about your brewing is still the case?
Well, no, because I brewed a good beer. This is the best. You know what this is? Everything else I fucked up the same way I always do. This is the best fermentation I've ever done. I did the right starter. In the right amount of time, and then fermented at the right temperature for the right amount of time, and I took care of sanitation and all that kind of stuff. I never had too much of a problem with sanitation, but it's the best ferment. So I think I learned that I'm good at focusing on that fermentation process. There's just these little retarded details I have to do. The other things that I've learned, we've talked about in other episodes, where I got to dial in some numbers and open valves, for example, some things like that. So all of that, I think, was a lot of fun. And in the tasting process, I think you learn some things about your beer, too. But I will go home and drink the crap out of this beer. And by the way, we took Lee and Brian's advice and did a blend of the two. And it's a damn good beer.
I like it.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. The old the old
blendy poo.
The old JP and Crosley compliment there. My side was funnier. When you taste it together, you go, oh, yeah. Oh, I can taste the funny in Justin.
What do you do? What is this? Are you cupping the balls while you're drinking?
In the physical motion I'm doing. I taste the funny in Justin's beer, and I taste the other things that JP brings.
The bitterness. The bitterness. It's like you guys Eiffel towering over the table drinking this blended beer.
Should I do a blend? Every time I do a blend at SoCal, it's called the Eiffel Tower.
Yes. And then you should blend it like this.
Yes.
You should drink it like this.
You have to drink it by cupping the balls and tilting like it into the mouth. All right. I will instruct everybody. One, I'm wearing my orange vest down at SoCal.
No, because you can't drink then.
I will. I can pour and instruct them how it's,
That's the new BN method. That's the new BN method of tasting.
You cup the balls and you pour the beer.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right.
Good work, sir.
Yeah, you too. That's good fun. I don't even want to do Drunk of the Week. Let's just get out of here. We're going to skip Drunk of the Week.
Chatroom is going to be so mad at you.
I
don't care either.
I mean, come on. The Drunk of the Week's been a mess lately anyway, and I think it was a good show about information. Why go down that road and just ruin it?
Ruin
it. Tasty, who do you predict we're going to put you up against?
Nate?
We haven't decided yet. I'll tell you that. I'll be honest.
Doc would be a good match, too.
It's hard to figure out.
We're going
to
do the same
Tasty,
style.
Nate, and Doc.
Yeah.
We have an idea for Jamil already, so we've got that one kind of taken care of. Oh, in fact, I think it was Jamil's idea, and it's a great idea. I'm not going to reveal it yet, but his idea was so good it made it easier for us to pair him up. But Doc, Tasty, and Nate, they're difficult to pair up. Susie, are you wanting in on this? Are you going to brew?
I'll do it.
You do want in?
Yeah.
Okay. Susie wants in too.
What about our other ancillary BN people like Terrence and those?
Well, we asked Terrence. Well, at least we thought in the beginning Terrence would be in. I got to check in with him.
He's been brewing like crazy. Or at least he was.
No, he's not. He's just on Facebook begging. Is it me or is Terrence been a beggar, like a homeless guy looking for homebrewing equipment for the last month?
They're beggars.
Every other post.
Is he serious?
I think so.
Embarrassing himself.
Every other post is like, okay, so I got the burner, but I still need
the animation.
And all for free. And I'm going, T-Bone, what are you doing, man?
Well, and then Steve-O, that little, leech from Whittier or whatever, starts chiming out on his, goes, hey, I need all those too, so look for doubles of everything. And then
what are we, the begging network?
They're
now?
Going back and forth. I'm like, why did you hijack a brother's thread, man?
I'll give him each a plastic bucket. You can have an old fucked up plastic. Here you go.
That's his budget, right?
Yeah, his budget's free.
Meanwhile, every piece of gear I have has been given to me.
Right.
But
you didn't beg for it.
If I didn't beg for it. I publicly worked for it. I promoted for it is what I did, basically.
Right. You whored yourself.
Yeah. Well, whoring is different than begging. I mean, you should get sex. You have to provide a service.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
It's a messy service, but you have to provide it. Well, I would like Terrence to brew. I would like Plissé to brew. I haven't asked him yet, but I will. I'll shoot him an email. I think he'd be great to get in on the Brewmaster Challenge. Good brewer. So, all right. We'll reveal the next two brewers on the next episode. We're off next week due to the SoCal Challenge, and then it's a Monday show after that, right, Moscow?
That's correct.
SoCal Challenge?
SoCal, whatever. You can tell where my brain's at. It's on this that I lost.
Not that I want to do this, but I did brew yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
At home?
With JP.
Ah. At my home.
No, at home. Oh. Not at home, no.
No.
Under the rules of the Brewcaster Challenge, is it enterable?
No.
You brewed it with her?
No.
Like you did a bunch?
Well, I made her do everything, but I explained the steps and told her why. And she knew actually a great deal more than I thought she would.
From
just which means there that just sitting here not really paying attention to you guys, this shit is actually soaking in.
You're absorbing it subconsciously.
But I'm not actually a real brewer because it wasn't all grain.
What? Oh, it was extract?
Yeah.
What'd you brew?
A Kolsch.
Why did you brew?
Because I sit here every effing week and I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
So it's really to get to know more about what's going on?
Well, because a lot of times I have to, like when I type out a question or whatever, I don't understand the thought process that's the question is being asked from. And I'd like to have, I mean, I feel like you can ask a question better for someone if you understand what they're asking and why they're asking it.
Right.
What the hell?
This is the first time you've ever tried to do your job better.
Yeah, what is going on?
That is her,
don't
right?
Get used to it. It was one time.
Right.
And I might have got a little drunk yesterday.
She got hammered.
It's brewing.
I had one drink.
And you got hammered.
Drunk. I don't drink.
It was a real strong drink.
Well, you shouldn't have given her absinthe for her one drink.
I made her cocktail.
Have this.
3/4 of the way down, she's like, I think I'm kind of drunk. Great. Then it did its job.
Wow. Are we going to taste that beer here on the show? Yes.
Sure.
Wonderful.
Yes, we is.
So you're fermenting it for him?
Nope. I am fermenting it myself in my mom's basement.
Oh.
I gave it to her.
Where we hide the bodies.
My friend Chris, who was here, he you know, I brewed with him, and I gave him a carbonate. I told Diva the same spiel. The way you get into it is you can brew, and that's fine, and you put everything together, and it's just like baking. But until you see the yeast kind of churning, and you smell the different flavors, the smells, day to day, do all that.
That does not smell good.
No.
Not a Kolsch in particular.
I left sulfur bomb. Sam left. Sam is out of town, so he put it in my car this morning when he left at 4:30, and I dropped it off at my mom's house this morning at 7:30. Holy stinky! I got in the car and I was like, ugh.
"Yeah." By the way, you can die of carbon dioxide.
I opened all the windows,
but if it wasn't fermenting yet, it was the sulfur.
It was fermenting, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was nasty.
2 vials of Kolsch. Yeah, it was 1040 gravity.
Yeah. Got it. So no temperature control, but just in a cool basement.
It's in a cool basement, and I put a sleeping bag around it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but for Kolsch, it should be good. It's basically I wanted her to see the process, not just talk about it, not just go, oh yeah, and then yeast ferments the beer. You get to see those chunks, and that's why carboys are good for us. I think for first timers, then you can go to buckets and do whatever you want.
See what's happening.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
I think so.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have some Bevo beer to try soon. And
Bevo beer.
Yeah,
it's not good. You guys better be nice, or I'll cut you all.
All right. Thanks once again to Lee Shepard and Brian Cooper from Dr. Homebrew and other ventures in their own lives. The
Twitter
new Dr.
Game?
Homebrew show will be coming out in May. We'll have 2 shows for you then.
Good.
And then 2 shows every month. Brought to you by our wonderful new sponsor over at Five Star. How did we do in the Twitter game?
We did it right. So the question for the Twitter game was, what are you looking forward to at BNA 8? Actually, we didn't do that great at all. Ben Cranford, good old Cranny. He's looking forward to hangovers and beer farts.
Yeah,
really?
Hangovers.
Great. No one looks forward to
and
that.
And beer farts.
It's accurate, but it's not accurate for what you're looking forward to.
Maybe he's a weird dude, man.
Yeah.
His nickname is Cranny.
Cranny. All right. What else?
Excuse me. Eureka Brewing is giving Major Jip a major hug.
Aww.
I think that was really beautiful.
But I don't like that.
Team Oli says, all the beers I have... Get the fuck fuck out of here. All the beers I've had while judging the next day taste like bile due to the over-beveraging from the night before. So here we go. We have a beer judge who's going to be judging in the finals the next day. Looking forward to getting drunk and tasting bile the next day.
Lee, don't write in if you're going to do that. You didn't have to tweet in. We wouldn't have called you out, you know.
And then our close personal friend, Mr. Brian Shar, says he's looking forward to Blobber, Nutters, Cuffs. Oh, you asked what I was looking forward to.
Okay.
That's it.
I give it to the JP Hug guy. What do you think? Anybody oppose?
Sure, I'll go for that.
That's terrible.
JP Hug guy.
It's so adorable.
It's adorable. That's what he's looking forward to.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Is a big, fat hug.
Yeah.
I don't mean you're fat.
I've lost 2 pounds.
Well, you can lose up to 4 pounds in water weight every 24 hours.
That is fucking rude. That's a rude thing to say. Now I get it. Before, I thought I was just helping and trying to talk to you the way I think, but now right. That's really rude.
You understand that you're like, shit.
I was a douche.
You guys are assholes.
All right. Suze, are you going to NHC?
Yes.
You are. Good.
I'm going to be coming in Wednesday, so I'll be at BNE 8 too.
Okay, wonderful. And you're going to Boonville. You'll see Taste-O-Matic out there.
I will, but I camp in the civilian section with all the other drunks.
I'll steal you away.
Right.
My Westie will be flashing, so if you guys want to come party with us.
I saw that you turned it into a techno Westie. It's a Burning Man Westie.
Get it back to the German roots.
I'll come by and visit you guys after the...
It's going to be so much fun.
All right. So we'll see you down at the SoCal Homebrew Festival, or if you go into Boonville, look out for our team at Boonville.
We got them both covered.
We're sending our street team to both different locations over the weekend.
Kick it with the street team.
If you've got beer to pour and you consider yourself part of the Brewery Network, then you could pour. You just bring us your keg down at SoCal, and we'll do that too. And by the way, it's worth mentioning, I saw a thread in the forum. The guy who wrote in asking about an NHC Brewing Network club night booth.
Yes.
And we assigned it to him, jokingly.
Yeah.
Wrote back to me. He's like, no, I can't do that. I live far away and I can't do it. I've already donated my beer to some other club. And I was like, settle down, son. It was a joke. But then he went posting on the forum that now there's no BN booth and there'd be no Brewing Network Club booth. And
right.
This whole conversation has gone forward without me.
We should shut the forum down.
Do you guys want to share a booth with my club?
Well, we're still probably going to have a booth. We could share a booth. We'll talk to Susie about that. If there are any local BNers who would like to head up the organizing of it, we support you. We'll actually get you the things that you need and help financially, and we'll get you staff and that sort of thing. So if there's anybody who's going to be at Philly NHC and would like to help head up the Brewing Network booth, it's still very much a possibility. I didn't realize how quickly the BNers quit. Bunch of quitters. Like one guy can't make it and, now we don't have a booth. What a bunch of quitters! So if we can't do our own, we'll fucking team up with Susie's club. And they don't care. Yeah, so... we don't care because we're an incestuous club anyway, and that's how it goes. All right. Is that it?
That's it, bro.
All right. JP, take us out of here.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Follow JP on Twitter at Major Jip so he doesn't have to add you as a friend on Facebook and then hide you. Scott is on Twitter when he feels like it. Follow him at Moscow Paints. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. If you want the best growler that your hard-earned money can buy, head on over to the BN store and check out the Warhead. And be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.
And winning the race, JP does great as his charity.